B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. It's time now for Cuz Radio.
What up, Cuz?
DeSean Jackson gets a block. Are you kidding?
Talking with the Cuz.
Yo, Cuz. How you doing?
Stairs rips one into the night.
Stolen by the doctor. Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocks the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
Look, Cuz, don't even try it, okay?
Now, here's Anthony Gargano.
Why don't you get the hell out of here, Cuz?
Happy Tuesday to all across the Delaware Valley. My man rocking the fat P hat. Yeah. It's a good win yesterday. I thought they fall behind a little bit. I thought it was going to be a higher scoring game. And I thought Syndergaard settled down a little bit. Gives up a lot of hits, man. A lot of contact is what he gives up. But listen, he gave you seven innings, right? And he was able to gut it out. Didn't walk anybody. Six strikeouts. You know, I mean, that's what you want. Phillies come away with a victory. So that's good. Junis, you know what to do.
And a line drive base into left field. Realmuto scores, rounding third, heading for home is Castellanos. The throw to the plate, cut off. It's a two-run single for Sosa tonight. And that one's lined down the left field line. Is it a fair ball? It sure is. And Segura will score. Sosa breaks another bat, but gets another RBI. He's got three ribbies tonight. It's a 4-2 ball game.
Get excited!
And there it was. Fightins. Good win. Another one in Cincinnati today. Same time. 6:40. Today, though, I really want to talk some football. I thought it was a really good day to kind of revisit kind of our expectations, right? Now, listen, I've been telling you for the past, I don't know, 3 months that don't worry about expectations. Don't have expectations. There's no need to have expectations because the Eagles are good and this is the beginning of the ride. And I love the beginning of a ride. I love having no expectations, not being saddled by them. And that's what this team is about right now. They are extremely promising, right? Like, we all love the defense. We all love the offense. You know, we like the players. Even though if we have questions about Hurts, we like Hurts. We like Sirianni. Like, there is a lot about this team that we like and we're enjoying, and it's the beginning, right? This whole thing is the beginning of the journey. You could call it 2007 Phillies. You can call it 2000 Eagles or 2001 Eagles maybe. I mean, it's got all those things as the beginning of the ride, right? And anytime you get a ride, to me, the ride is like a five-year window. And you hope it goes to seven, but, you know, like the Andy Reid Eagles, let's face it, they go from 99 was the first year, and that was the 5-11. They make the playoffs in 2000, and then from that on, right, we know it. Championship game in 01, championship game in 02, championship game 03, Super Bowl 04. You had the hangover in 05. You had the injury in 06, 07. Right, you come back a little bit, 08, you get back to the title game, should have been back in the Super Bowl. But, like, you could see that era, right? That era of football. And then it came close a little bit with playoffs and this and that. But that was the prolonged period. I think this is it. This is where you're in. Now, we'll see the particulars and, you know, if Jalen winds up being a long-term quarterback or not. That's all to be worked out. But when you look at the bones of this team, the bones of this team are very, very good. I'm legitimately excited about all of them. So the idea of expectations not being, you know, saddled by them means like you're not going to be bummed out or disappointed if they don't reach a certain threshold, because ultimately, let's face it, like the Super Bowl, your expectations for a Super Bowl would be next year or the year after. Probably the year after, right? In fairness, if you're going to look at it, I mean, next year should be like a deeper playoff run, and then the year after would be like, oh, I hope I can compete for a Super Bowl. And that's kind of what your expectations are. And so when you look at him, it's easy for me to say it's the beginning of a journey. Don't worry about expectations. It's another reason, but before the season starts and you look and you go, well, they're pretty good, man. They could surprise some people. And expectations are, you know, part of human nature. That there's going to be a certain threshold in your mind that you'll be pleased with. I think you're going to be pleased no matter what. I think, like, in my mind, if we're just going incremental, and when I speak in incrementals, it's imagine the escalator at the mall, all right? The escalator right up, and it's on that 90-degree angle. And all I really expect out of this year is you're going to make the playoffs, and you can't get blown out. Like last year, I mean, you know, it was blowout city. It was an embarrassment. And truthfully, the only reason why they even made the playoffs was because of the quarterbacks. We're going to go through last year's schedule, and then we'll take a look at this year's schedule, and we'll look at, you know, potential wins and losses. I was joking around with the guys earlier. When Tunis and I, before, this is probably June, I was messing around. We did the W's and L's, and I came up with 14. Yeah, I know. It's ridiculous. I told myself it's ridiculous. I get it. But I think they can actually win, seriously, 11 to 12. If things go right, maybe 14. But 11 to 12, I think, is a number that is a legitimate number. I keep going back to it, and I keep looking at it, because I don't think the quarterback is a disaster. The way I look at Jalen Hurts, especially surrounded what he's surrounded by with that line and those weapons, knowing what kind of a guy he is, he's not going to kill you. Like, he's not going to be a complete disaster. He may not be enough to get the job done, but he's not going to bury you. And so that's kind of where I look at Jalen. I go, that's why he can win 11, 12 games, and I can feel comfortable in that realm. Because I don't think he buries you. I don't. Now, again, I don't know how good he's going to be, and I don't know if he can get you over the top, because that would be the big question. Good morning, Tunis.
What's going on, man? How are you today?
Good.
Yeah.
You know, listen.
I'm not really fret about today.
Phillies win.
Hey, they got the win. It was nice. Sir Anthony Dominguez is just dominant, as always. Just another incredible outing out of him, which is always fun to see. Noah Syndergaard, we'll see. You know, he's going up against the Mets this upcoming weekend.
Yeah, it's scary.
You know, you can
give up a lot of contact.
You can give up a lot of hits against the Reds and not really get killed for it.
Right. There's a big difference between Donovan Solano,
yeah,
and Pete Alonso.
Yeah, so we'll see this weekend if Syndergaard can show up a little bit. We'll find out. He doesn't look like he has swing and miss.
He's more Thorn than Thor.
Yeah, dude, he's Gary Thorn. He's not even a Thorn in your side.
Yeah. Yeah.
My man.
Thorn with an E.
My man doesn't have much left, it seems like.
Well, I'm still hoping that something, you know, because when you get to Tommy John, sometimes it takes a little bit longer than expected. And who knows?
Here's the beauty. Ranger Suarez was dominant his last outing. Ranger Suarez is probably going to solidify himself as the number three starter.
Yep.
Like, that's the beauty of it.
Oh, he's already your number three
starter. You get Syndergaard, and it's really just to eat up innings as the season. Look, he gave you seven innings yesterday.
Yeah.
It's not like he gave you four or five like Bailey Falter would have, right? So he gives you seven innings yesterday. Your bullpen is
really
taxed.
Yeah, you're able to win the game.
Yeah, exactly.
He's not a complete gas can.
Before, you know, they make the trade for him, they were doing the bullpen game. And so yesterday would have been Nick Nelson and Bailey Falter, Christopher Sanchez, you know, you name it, just to try to get through the first six innings so then you can go to the horses in the back end. So, I mean, look, you get Syndergaard through seven innings yesterday, and you'll take that. You get the win, and it's against a bad Reds team. You're back in the win column after dropping 2 of 3 to the Mets, and everybody got scared for some reason. So, yeah, happy the Phils won yesterday, rocking the fat P, as you said. I always love this hat. And the Eagles, man, they're going to be fun to watch. I can't wait to go through this today. I'm actually pulling up the schedule for you from last year, and ESPN always has, like, the passing yards and the rushing yards for the leaders for the team. And, you know, there's a lot of 250 and less for passing yards for Jalen Hurts, but that might be all you need this year still.
Well, what do you think of the concept of expectations? I kind of laid it out of what this year is to me, right? So I can tell people, I'm a happy passenger. You talk about the Chunas train. So imagine that metaphor.
The Cuz Cruise.
I'm just happy. Like, I'm just sitting in my seat and I'm enjoying myself. I mean, it's that kind of, you know, easy kind of way. It's unlike driving to work every day, which is the bane of my existence, driving from Jersey to here. Yes, it is a fan. It's Lakeside.
The Cuz Cruise.
You're right. It's of this vessel.
A lot more chilled out than the Chunas train.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're flying at high speed.
Yeah.
We're a high speed rail. And you're a cruise line.
Yeah, I like that metaphor. I think you're right about that. Or that analogy. I think you're right about that. I think that's kind of where I'm at with it. Without the burden of expectations. No burden of expectations, man. I kind of really like that. I really do.
Yeah, well, you know what? I'm in a different club of the Cuz Cruise, and we're playing. We're playing this music. Because, man, I got expectations. Come on, dude. I can't go in here saying, oh, let's just enjoy the ride. You're like Smokey, man. You're just cruising. You're saying you could see them win 11, maybe even 12 games. And then you whisper 14, and I get it, it's in fun. But how are you going to say 11, 12 wins and then be like, but I have no expectations? You know it. You know this team's got talent. And
I
you know
do,
this team has bones. And you know that 11-12 wins should win you the division this year.
Well,
by a couple of games.
That's what I think will happen. I think they're going to win the division.
Well, then that's an expectation.
But my expectation is not Super Bowl. Like, once we get into Super Bowl or deep run. Like, listen, I think the NFC is fairly weak, right? But you still have the Rams.
Yeah.
Who are an all-star team.
You still have the Packers with Aaron Rodgers and me at wide receiver.
You still have Brady, even though his offensive line is busted up. But Tampa's still a legitimate powerhouse, right? So you still have, you know, some decent teams. Now, again, I think it's fairly wide open, that conference.
Yeah, and don't forget, last year.
Because if the Rams have a Super Bowl hangover, Brady has some kind of atrophy, who knows, or O-line issues. I don't know. I mean, it's open.
And last year was the first year of the one bye. Remember, it's not top two seeds anymore. It's just one, so who knows? You know, that second seed might get beat up a little bit as the playoffs go on. Yeah, man, listen.
I'm not saying Super Bowl either.
Like, I think playoffs, host a playoff game when you win the division, and hopefully, I hope they win a playoff game. If they're hosting a playoff game, I would go, all right, they should win.
Yeah, I agree.
Listen, but I'm not saying NFC championship game, Super Bowl.
I mean, in my mind's eye, I see a playoff win. And that would be kind of the barometer, right?
Yeah.
When I talk about the escalator up, the 90-degree angle, you know, the next incremental, you know, move forward is a playoff game in which you win or you're not embarrassed, right? And that's kind of what, I mean, I look at the defense alone makes them really good.
Yeah, and last year you were embarrassed, right? Down 31-0 before you know it because the defense was trash and the offense couldn't keep up. I mean, before you know it, you blinked and they were up 17-0, the Bucks.
I can't explain to you the depth of my enjoyment. Like, I feel I'm organic, like an honest excitement for them. Like, I feel like they're back. Like, last year, I mean, it was equal football, so I'm always in.
Yeah.
But, you know, truthfully, you know, I'll drum up a D-A-G-L-E-S, but not like this year feels like years, like in the golden era.
All right, then let me ask you something. If you're going like, no expectations, right, yeah. Super Bowl and all that kind of stuff, are you going to go into it emotional? Like, what? God forbid they lose week one of the Lions. I'm freaking out. Like, I'm angry. Are you reaching that level? Because if you think they win 11, 12 games, that means they're 1-0 to start the season. But God forbid they lose to the Cannibal and they lose. Now they're 0-1.
Well, you'll be upset because they lost to the Cannibal.
No, and I'd be upset that they're 0-1.
Nah, because you hate the Cannibal.
Yeah, they should not lose to the Lions. The Lions stink.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're a building team. I think they're better than you think, but yeah, they should win. I agree, they should win.
And if they didn't, I would be angry. If they lose to Kirk Cousins on Monday Night Football, who never wins Monday nights, I will be angry.
Yeah, you know,
if they lose to Carson week three, yeah. I'll be angry.
Yeah, and if your aunt had balls, she'd be the king, right? Like that's kind of what you're saying.
Yes,
I mean that's that old you know joke, and I go. Honestly, I don't. I'm not carrying any anger.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, dude.
I can't ratchet myself into being. You know what I think of when I think, well, you just said that. If they lose here, I'm angry. Okay. And I think of like, you know, sports talk guy. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And you know, like Christopher Russo. Right? And he.
Dog.
Because I was listening. So he's on the MLB The Show.
Yeah.
Right? And Mossmo got drafted. And, you know, he comes up. That's the worst draft in the history of draft. Right? And they're screaming and yelling.
Yeah.
And I think when you say that, that's what comes to mind.
Okay.
And I hate that. I mean, honestly. Like, listen, I get upset and I get angry. But, you know, like I look at the Flyers. The Flyers make me angry.
Yes.
Because that franchise has just withered before my eyes. And not going out and getting Gaudreau was malfeasance. If the Sixers somehow fall flat, I'll be angry and upset and forlorn. Because this is a pivotal year. When it comes to the Sixers, like now the playoffs.
You're saying this a day after we played the 10-year anniversary of the intro.
Like I need a Sixer run. Like the Phillies, there's nothing that's going to make me angry with the Phillies. Like my anger, you heard my anger when it was Klentak.
Yes.
I had great anger. I was incensed that Klentak was the steward of that franchise. And he set him back. I mean, you know, seriously.
But God forbid Eagles fall short of 10 wins. You wouldn't be feeling a certain type of way?
I don't think I would be angry. I think I might be a little disappointed. I might think the factors, like, think about this for a second. If the Eagles were to win 9 games, what's the most likely reason?
It hurts to not take any step forward.
Right.
Or Gannon continues to not have a clue as the defensive coordinator.
Right. I mean, there's only
those two.
There's only two reasons that could possibly occur. Like, I like the offensive line. The offensive line could be good. Can't be mad at that.
No.
I love A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith and Goddard. I can't be mad at that. I think the running backs are fine, even though they might need an upgrade. I will see about Miles. This is a year. I actually think it's a good year, but whatever. So I'm not going to really be mad. And then defensively, I like how we do with the defense. And they're young players. So we have to get beat on the back end sometimes. And I like the corners. But the safeties, we'll see. It's a work in progress. But even if they get beat on the back end, what's there to be angry about? I'm not expecting them to win a Super Bowl. This is still the build. They still got to tweak this thing even after this year. So why would I be barking?
Because we're already saying 10, 11 wins.
Okay.
And if they fall short of that, I mean.
They fall short of that, most likely it's because Jalen's not good enough. And I go, all right, I got to get a quarterback. I mean,
you're very level-headed. I appreciate that.
I think
you're in a good. You're in a good.
I am in
mental
a good,
state.
I am.
Maybe with sports, but not nothing else. But with sports.
If I told you, I'm the happiest I've been with sports in years. Now, I'm not talking about moments of happiness like the Eagles winning the Super Bowl.
Right.
Or the Sixers, you know. But where the state of at least three of the teams are in the union, I feel a sense of peace and happiness. All right. We got lots to get to today. We got to revisit our conversation from yesterday. We're going to go through some schedules. We got lots to do. It's Cuz Radio with the Chunas from the island of Sodor.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Across the Delaware Valley. Cuz Radio with the Chunas. So, you know what's interesting, Chunas?
What's that?
Is that the Phillies, the core young players are playing really well.
Yeah, dude, Bryson Stott is playing extremely well.
He's been doing it ever since they got rid of DD, but, you know, the other night against Scherzer, you know, without Schwarber, he's got a bad leadoff, and he had great at-bats against Max Scherzer. And you look at, you know, what the job Dombrowski has done is incredible. Look what Sosa's done.
Yeah,
right?
Three ribbies yesterday, and he's a tremendous fielder.
He is.
So if you look, Alec Bohm's been fantastic in the field. But if you ever feel uncomfortable late in a game, you could put Sosa in at third base because he can play a couple of positions for you. But yeah, he's been tremendous in the field for you and then came up big with the three ribbies yesterday. Going back to Stott and the Scherzer thing, that's the first time in Scherzer's career where he allowed somebody to get on base four times against them in one game. First time in his career. Two-time Cy Young winner, one in the American League, one in the National League, and Bryson Stott gets on base four times against them.
Listen, the job that Dombrowski has done is one of the greatest GM jobs in the history of the town. Now, I say that in this sense. They had nothing.
Nothing.
Like, nothing. They had no bullpen. They had no prospects. I mean, very, very little prospects. They had nothing other than Bryce, right? You know, a couple pieces here and there, Reese. Who he had to redo, right? They cut, you know, you're not, boom. The job that Dombrowski's done, it's unbelievable.
Here's the other thing, man.
And by the way, those two kids got promoted. I mean, Abel and Painter, are you kidding me? Those kids are just ridiculous.
And I love that they're not waiting. They move them up to double A right away, not high A. They move them right up to double A and you know, get their feet wet, and maybe we could see them next year, which is exciting. And we had T-Mac on last Friday. Tom McCarthy does a tremendous job. He said that Dombrowski doesn't care about age, just whether or not you're ready to play in the big leagues. And Bryson Stott was ready to be in the big leagues to start the season, but Girardi never wanted to play him. And he did struggle to start the season, right? He was hitting well below 200, but he didn't get consistent at-bats. I didn't think Mickey Moniak was going to be this great ball player, right? He looked totally overmatched. But last year, they kept him on the major league roster for like the last 50 games of the season. So he wasn't even getting hacks in the minors, right? Like, it was just so weird how they mishandled some of these players. And now look what happens when young guys are going out there and just playing the way they're comfortable, right? Alec Bohm doesn't have to try to pull everything. Just go out there and hit. And now he's playing better in the field. And that's probably coming from upstairs, and Rob Thompson's probably all about it.
I mean, dude.
Whereas Girardi wanted to do his thing.
I mean, not nothing, but, like, the job that he... How about the bullpen,
yeah.
Right? Now, it's interesting. Dombrowski rebuilding the pen. Morey rebuilding the Sixers bench, which I like a ton.
I do, too.
And Howie rebuilding the Eagles' defense. All kind of overnight.
Yeah, pretty quickly, you're right.
I mean, are we in the golden years of GMing? I mean, this, you ask me why I'm happy and peace. I like all three of those guys. I think they've all done a great job.
I think Harden.
Chuck Fletcher's the opposite of.
Well, yeah, he should be out. I think Harden's going to be better this year. I really do. But that's really what we're hanging on to with Morey right now. If Harden is cooked,
just
then,
the bench alone, though.
Yes, yeah.
Listen, he winds up trading the biggest scoundrel in Philadelphia sports history, and he gets Harden. Yeah. All right, I'll take it as a win. I didn't think that Simmons would be that big of a scoundrel. He turned out to be. And yesterday, they had to come to an agreement to give him a few dollars.
It's ridiculous, man.
It is. It's a disgrace. It's a disgrace. He's a disgrace at every level, Ben Simmons. Disgrace. But you still turned him into a Harden who, at worst this season, is going to be a contributor. I mean, he's still going to play well. Or play, he's going to give you something that Simmons is never going to give you.
Exactly, that's true.
Right? And Morey rebuilds the bench. I like his bench moves.
Yeah, I mean, I love De'Anthony Melton. I do. I think that's a huge piece they get. You know how I feel about P.J. Tucker. I've been wanting him for years, so I'm fired up about that. And we'll see if House can give you some quality minutes. And I keep on saying it. George Niang goes from your sixth man to your three-point specialist off the bench. Your ninth man or tenth man, right? Like, he's not six or seven anymore. He was your sixth man last year in the playoffs.
I know. And that's why he got foul trouble in 6 minutes.
Right, exactly, because he just couldn't keep up. But his game.
Well, that's my point. It's like he rebuilt the bench. I go, all right, I like it. Howie rebuilds the defense, and I look at Dombrowski rebuilding the bullpen.
Yeah, bullpen.
And he gives you defense, too. He gives you center field.
Yep.
Right? Like Marsh playing really good center field. And, you know, he gets rid of DD, lets Stott play every day. It just improved. They're so much better.
And he rebuilt the bats. Listen, Castellanos is a mess again. I still make that signing.
Yeah.
10 times out of 10.
Dude, bases loaded.
He's in his old yard.
Tell me you didn't think he was going. I thought he was going to take one.
Listen, man, I'm still waiting for it. You thought right out of the break. Remember, you were in Italy, but he had the back and forth with Salisbury after he struggled and then came out firing after that. He started hitting the ball again. You go, all right, Castellanos has turned things around. He hit that huge home run against the Braves where they won 3-2. And I go, all right, here we go. This is the Nick Castellanos coming out party. And then it just went silent again. Dude can't hit anything low and away. And that's all pitchers are throwing at him at this point. But I still make that signing. Like, I was fired up for it. Dombrowski did a heck of a job leading into this season, this offseason. And I'll even say this, something that I know money talks, you know, that's probably the biggest thing for a lot of people. But Dombrowski has relationships. What relationship did Klentak have as a general manager?
No, he had no
connection with agents or players. Whereas Dombrowski, he has some cachet in this league, right?
Yeah.
So he can try to get Schwarber to come here and Castellanos to come here. He has relationships, and look at what happened. They got a legit ball club here.
Yeah.
Just need Castellanos to heat up a little bit.
Yeah, he's got to give you something.
I know he had a ribby yesterday, but, dude, he's just a mess.
He is a complete and utter mess.
And we talk about Embiid showing bad body language. That's Castellanos, man.
Harm.
He just looks like nothing's going on up there.
Harm. I mean, I know. I mean, harm. Anyway, let's get started on the phone lines. I know Brian wants to talk a little Phillies, and then I want to get into the schedule last year, this year, and one of our listeners has an interesting point. My man Anthony, and I want to address it. I want to see what you think about it as well. Brian in Kennett Square, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Good morning, Brian.
Morning, guys.
What do you say, pal?
Well, let me tell you, this is a great segue, what you were just talking about with Dombrowski. We had the experience of a lifetime this weekend. My buddy, who's a Mets fan, gave us batting practice tickets. So we took the train up. We got to meet Ben Davis on the train, and he was gracious. But we get down there for batting practice, and Dombrowski comes out, and he's like JFK, just walking around, glad-handing everybody, keeping it loose, clapping. Robbie T was up next, and he was signing autographs. Schwarber came out as a leader, you know, walking around. He took a couple cuts and signed my son's baseball. He had a Schwarber shirt on. He signed that. But I'll tell you what was great was Marsh and Sosa talked to everybody in the line. The Mets fans, the Phillies fans.
That's awesome. What a great experience, man.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what was great about seeing those guys. You know, sometimes you think about the analytics and all that, but you got the intangible element of guys in the clubhouse that keep it loose. Marsh and Sosa were great. They both said to us, we're loving our time in Philly so far. And they were living out by the beach a couple months ago, right? So, I mean, bringing guys like that into the clubhouse that are going to keep it loose, that's the kind of stuff that gets you, you know, through the adversity when you have some tough games in October. What a great game. I mean, when they were up against Diaz with a chance to potentially win it, that was October baseball.
Yes, you know? Yes.
So I'm holding my 8-year-old son and I'm saying, hey, George, this is it, man. This is a different
game. Dude, isn't it the best? I love it. You got your 8-year-old. He's all locked in.
Yeah.
That's great cool, time. Man. That's very cool, Bri. I love it. I love hearing that. I'm with you, buddy. Great call, pal. I'm completely with you. Let's go. We'll continue the Phillies talk, obviously, all day. But let's chime in on this Eagles topic for a second. And this is going through the schedule last year and this year. So my man Anthony Hobson on the gram, he says, Junis, the reason why you are at peace is because of the weak schedule. And my response is, no, I mean, not at all. I said, the schedule's irrelevant. I just like the team. And he said, yeah, the team's good, but having a weak-ass schedule helps fans to relax and see what we need moving forward. And if stuff falls our way, it's a bonus. True. I agree with that last statement. Falls our way, it's a bonus. I agree. I agree with that. But I just think this is the product of the team.
Yeah, I mean, it's an easy schedule because you're better than those teams because of the talent on your squad, right? Like, it's not... Last year, the Eagles beat the Lions 44-6. The Lions were trash.
Yeah.
Like, they were so bad. But the Eagles weren't that great of a team last year.
No, right? And let's do this, right? Because let's start, all right? Let's start with this. Let's start with last year and go through it because I think there is a distinct difference between last year and this year, even though the schedule can wind up turning out the same. So week one was incredible, right?
Yeah.
Like they go to Atlanta and they rout the Falcons.
I still remember
32-6.
You and I were at the, I believe it was the Bluebell Country Club the next day we did the show. And we're at this, like, we're driving the golf course and we're on the phone. We're like, dude, what was that yesterday? Where did this come from?
Stunning.
A lot of people had the Eagles winning, and I was like, yeah, I don't know. I thought that was going to be a loss or at least like a close game. They blew them out.
Correct. They blew them out. Complete rout piece. Now, we come to find out that the Falcons were a mess, right?
Yeah.
That, you know, Ryan couldn't do anything behind that offensive line, that Kyle Pitts wasn't ready to rock and roll, that Ridley had issues.
Yeah.
So, you know, that win was a great win. But
took the Eagles and the points, Calvin Ridley.
Right. The next game was at home against the Niners. The Niners win 17-11. And it really was a Jimmy G leaving a lot of points on the field, if you remember.
He missed so many guys open. But in the same breath, that was the game where Rager has a chance to take the lead, stepped out of bounds prior to catching the touchdown pass.
Correct.
The Eagles, I know it's hard to say could have or should have won. They could have won that game.
I don't think they were, like, I would never mark that as a win. I thought that they got seriously outplayed much of the game, but Garoppolo, who's inaccurate, kept him in the game. Jalen threw for 190. He did run for 82, and there was the buoyed by the big play of Quez.
It was like a 90-yard, but it wasn't a touchdown.
Right.
It was the first. I remember there was a stat, like the first time in NFL history where a play went 90 yards that didn't result in a touchdown.
Right. Week 3 at the Cowboys, a complete route piece, if you remember.
Yeah, not fun.
Now, they lose 41-21 in Dallas. They come back, put up some numbers, like Hurts throws for 326. It was all garbage yards, and it was a route. Complete route.
Yeah, that game sucked.
Kansas City, once again, the defense, heinous.
I still remember Tyreek Hill was one-on-one with Anthony Harris. And that's why I go, I'm not really that confident with the safeties on this team.
Yeah.
Now, anybody one-on-one with Ty Hill, it's difficult.
Yeah.
Because I think their game plan, I remember, was let's stop Travis Kelce.
Right.
So Tyreek Hill goes off for like 200-plus yards.
Now, we know that they were never really in that game, even though the game was 42-30.
Nah, it was all garbage.
And Hurts put up 387. That was, again, garbage yards. And it really was, again, the Eagles' defense had no chance. So they no chance against Dallas, no chance against Kansas City. Then Carolina, and they were able to come back and beat Carolina at Carolina 21-18 because of the wretched quarterback play.
Yes. Yeah, Darnold was awful. And I remember the final possession where the Eagles took the lead, they started, I think, on the Panthers 35 or 40?
Yeah.
It was like incredible
short
field position for the Eagles. Yeah.
Short field.
Hurts ran it in.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not like he threw the ball well that game.
Right. So, Carolina, we're going to talk the wins. We're going to talk about the ones that were negated. We'll negate them by bad quarterback play by the opponent. And that was one that you negate.
Yeah.
Then it was Tampa on a Thursday night.
Chupacabra.
It was the Chupacabra.
Chop, chop, Tommy.
We did the show from Parks that Thursday, and we were having some fun. What if we don't go after Brady? Sell out. Blitz Brady. And, of course, Gannon didn't blitz. And Chom basically named his score. And for some reason, they just, like, remember, it was 21-0 earlier. 21-0.
And they took their foot off the gas pedal.
21-3, maybe. It was ugly, like, early. And then the Birds come back, and they actually made it a sweat in that game.
Yeah, and for a lot of people, they won money because they covered.
It was a cover.
It was a 7.5 line.
That's right. That's right. Hurts throws for 115 in that game.
Ew.
But, you know, they're able to kind of stay or stick around. Then it was Vegas. At Vegas, the boys for the morning show went out there, and the Raiders, they had no chance stopping Derek Carr.
Yeah, and this was a game that I still remember disappointed me with the coaching staff, because the game plan was to run the football. I remember Miles Sanders had like 50-plus rushing yards in the first two series. They got a field goal opening drive, and then he got hurt.
Yes.
And then they just completely abandoned the run.
Yeah.
And I get it.
I don't think Gainwell is a runner.
But they just completely abandoned it, and then there was nothing until, once again, garbage time. But yeah, dude, Carr threw for, I think, like 78% completion.
Yeah, I remember.
That
and that was the thing. Carr, Mahomes, Prescott, in that first half of the season, we're completing passes at an alarming rate.
A historic rate.
Yep.
It was on pace for like 80%.
Correct. Correct. Then in week 8, the Birds thrash at the Lions 44-6. Most of the damage, obviously, on the ground. Hurts only has to throw for 103 in that game. He rushed for 71. The running game, remember, all down. Now, that was also some wretched quarterback play with Goff.
Yeah.
Right? With Goff. Horrible. Absolutely horrible. The following week, this was a stunner. 27-24 to L.A. and the Chargers. Remember that?
Yeah, the problem was the Chargers. They went downfield in
at
blink
will,
of an eye.
at will.
Because the Eagles had the lead.
Right.
They were up, I think, 24-20. And then
somehow
the Chargers are just like, bing, 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 downfield.
And it was the beginning. Now, we come to find out the Chargers are a terrific young team.
Yeah.
And they showed you in that game how dangerous. But they couldn't. The defense couldn't stop it. So, once again, the defense failed. Like the Raiders, right? Like Kansas City, like Dallas, the defense failed.
Herbert had a completion percentage of 84% that game.
Yeah, I mean, that's insane.
84. 32 of 38, 356 yards and two touchdowns.
That's insane. That's absolutely insane.
And if you're Brandon Staley, Mr. Genius, why don't you just pass the ball every single play at that point?
Right?
You know what I mean? Like, what are you doing?
I didn't even understand.
He's
it.
Mr.
Like,
Genius.
Why would you run the ball at all?
I have no idea.
I mean, that makes no sense why you would run the football there.
Austin Eckler had 17 carries that game for 59 yards.
You know what? The Buccaneers did the same thing. I keep wondering, like, these teams looked at it and went, you know what? We're going to win the game, so let's just shorten the game and let's not tax our quarterback and risk any injury. That's what it feels like.
Yeah, I guess.
That's what it felt like both of those games.
They ran the ball as a team 27 times. Five of those were Herbert runs, so I wonder if those were kneel downs. So take out Herbert, they ran the ball 22 times.
All right.
They probably didn't need to do that.
Wow, wow. All right, so that put us at 3-6. And remember what happened during this period of time with Sirianni. And what was the plants?
Oh, yeah. There was
the plants, the whole thing.
What, soil.
The soil.
Any given flower, we did
yeah,
that
Yeah, the flower
bit.
Thing. Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, it was great. And this is where Sirianni solidified himself as coach. And the Eagles showed a lot of heart. We'll go back. They start off the season 3-6. And they wound up going 5-6-2. And we'll cover that coming up next as we try to figure out where this team is going through the schedule last year and this year. And then I want your calls. We can get some open lines. You can jump in right now to be ready for them. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Cuz Radio, Chunis, 97.5, The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5, The Fanatic.
Hello.
Whether you like it or not.
Give me the doc.
Whether you like it or not.
Why does that make me laugh?
Because he's just... I like Doc. We've had the pleasure of talking to him at times. You know, he may be sometimes a little full of himself. You know what I'm saying?
Whether you like it or not.
Yeah, where's this other gem from?
That's great.
Here it is. Here's another gem.
It's a dumbass question.
Thank God, dude.
That's great. That's great.
Hey, Doc, why are you playing DeAndre Jordan?
It's a dumbass question.
Come on, man.
That's fantastic.
I saw that one, he got angry because they basically asked him, like, hey, why are you struggling against teams that are missing half their players because of COVID? And he was upset about it.
I know.
It's like, well, dude.
I know.
They got seven guys and you have a full slate and you're
I know.
Coming down the wire here.
I know, I know. I hear you.
I'm curious to see how he is this year. Did you hear?
Is he relaxed? I wonder if he's relaxed.
All right, so you were in Italy. So you missed this.
What happened?
Richard Jefferson is the latest member of the podcast world. So he was on Richard Jefferson's podcast. And he told Richard Jefferson that he had to get back surgery this summer. Remember, Doc Rivers, it didn't look like he was walking all that well last year, so he got back surgery. And he said, I haven't been able to golf, because he's a big golfer, as we know. So he's just been working and, you know, taking notes on the team. So that's kind of cool. Maybe he really studied up some game plan. He straight up said to Richard Jefferson, he's like, yeah, man, I've been working really all summer. I haven't been able to golf. Okay. I'll be curious.
I mean,
now everything goes out the window when Kevin Durant's here. You just roll the ball out and say, go get him, boys.
Yeah. All right. You're mad you had to work? All right.
Oh, he wasn't mad.
Yeah. All right.
We'll see, Doc.
All right.
I want to love him.
I do, too.
I want to love him.
I do, too. I don't, you know.
It's hard not to realize that, you know, he won one title and it's because he had the best team in the league.
It's funny. I want to love him, too. He's an odd dude, though, because he's very, like you said, cocksure is the word.
Didn't Pete Rose say on the broadcast?
No, it's a little different. That's the kind of guy he is.
Yeah. Right?
Like, he's high opinion, which I.
And, listen, his back is always up against the wall.
Listen, I don't blame him. Like, you know, if I accomplished and achieved what he did too, I wouldn't be in love with being second guessed all the time. Like I blow every lead and series and seeing the graphic. After a while it would piss me off too. Like I get it. I mean, I understand it. Somebody who's had success in your career and who's a competitor, you know, it rankles you.
Yeah. Well, it keeps happening. So
but what are you supposed to do though? You're gonna go, what? Okay.
No, you go, yeah, you're right. I need to change how I do things.
Yeah, all right. Anyway.
Like, I'm not going to play all these the younger players.
I know.
I'm going to play DeAndre Jordan, who literally looked like you couldn't put a piece of paper underneath him when he jumped.
I know, dude. I get it.
And I'm not a B-ball Paul guy, as you know. But come on, man.
Yeah.
Give me DeAndre Jordan.
It's amazing because we all saw it.
Yeah.
And he's still, we all saw it. We all said, like, you got to get more athletic. When we had that round table at the brewery in King of Prussia, you remember that?
Workhorse, yeah.
And we had that great, that was a lot of fun. And it was Mikey Miss and Bobby C. And I did a couple segments, a couple other people did. Devon came up, whole thing.
Keith Pompey was there, I believe.
Tyrone, like, we were just all kind of all hanging out and talking about it. And everybody had the same thing. I remember Tyrone saying, like, we got to be more athletic, Doc. And we all agreed.
I get trusting a veteran over Paul Reed, right? But when the veteran is, you know, getting beat constantly.
Yeah, like, man.
What are you trusting at this point? You can't trust their talent because there's none left.
I know. I know. Hey, by the way.
That's why he and Girardi are the same person.
I hear you.
I trust Didi.
I know. It's uncanny.
Joe, Didi's hitting .071 against lefties this year.
It's freaking uncanny, right? Uncanny. Hey, by the way, yo, next week, Tuesday, it's a week from today.
Oh, yeah, man.
Tuesday the 23rd. The 97.5 The Fanatic Summer Golf Classic.
This is going to be awesome.
Yeah, man. The Scramblewood at Ramblewood, presented by Corona Premier at Ron Jaworski's Ramblewood Country Club in Mount Laurel, New Jersey. So Johnny and the Morning Guys will be there, Bobby C and the Bro and Pat, and we'll be there broadcasting live all day. Everybody from the Fanatic will be there. Ricky Bowe and Tyrone and Hunter and Jen and Devon. Going to be a great time, man. Dinner is included and your first Corona free.
That's awesome.
What a day on the lakes.
It's free. It's May,
and,
man.
And then you get dinner.
Yeah, and I'll be going to the dinner. So I'm not going to be golfing because I got to take care of some baby duty. But I'll be going out to the dinner later that night and hanging out with the people. It's going to be a good time, man.
Dude, this is an awesome, awesome deal.
And I love that golf course, man.
It's a great course.
That Jaws
course.
Seven Tap Tavern.
Yeah, I love Seven Tap Tavern.
I can hear him saying it. He's the best.
We did a podcast, the Meat Locker podcast.
Yes.
At the Seven Tap Tavern. It was me, Baldy, and the host, right? The most. I brought the kids. They had the greatest time.
Oh, I'm sure, man.
We were in the back room. The three of us were pounding Miller Lights.
The bucket of Miller Lights, yeah.
Yeah, it was awesome. Joel's the best. By the way, this you got to get this whole package. This is amazing. Golf, right? You got the whole state's going to be hanging around. Dinner's included. You get your first Corona. Everybody gets a pair of tickets to Fan Fest. All right? Now, the event is almost sold out. So you got to get there now. Get your crew together and get right now. Sign up. 975thefanatic.com. And portions of the proceeds benefit the American Association for Cancer Research. Support life-saving cancer research by making a donation to the AACR. Go to 975thefanatic.com/AACR. Please go do it. It's going to be a great day. The weather looks perfect.
Yes, it does.
All right, so get on out there, man. All presented by Corona Premier, Steven Singer Jewelers, Co-Bear Health, Ferguson HVAC, Everfresh Juices, Dry Tech Waterproofing, and of course, 97.5 The Fanatic, Philadelphia.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
You know, the golf tournaments are great. Jaws' courses are great. It's a cool opportunity.
Dude, it's going to be a blast. So make sure you get your crew. Sign up. Time for some morning thoughts.
Wake up, Philadelphia!
No! God, please, no! No!
Time now for morning thoughts.
Hey, lady, shut up!
Will you just shut your trap?
Shut up!
Please go away. Let me sleep for the love of God!
Because what were you thinking about this morning?
All right, so when I woke up, I have a feeling of excitement and dread. The excitement is I get to hang with you and I get to talk sports at a really glorious time. Like I don't think I've enjoyed this as much as I have in such a long time. Like I look forward to work every day. The dread comes in driving to work. For some reason, there is always an issue. So since I'm out in the boonies, I got 295, 42, one of the two horrific bridges in the wall or the bend, and then either the schuylkill the whole way, which is like a bloodletting, or I go try to cut through all the Ben Franklin. I cut through the city, and then I go Kelly Drive to get to Sea Line Avenue. And it's a series of white knuckle, almost accidents. Everybody drives crazy. Everybody's an idiot. I'm an idiot. It's a horrible drive. And I loathe it. And I will tell you this. I hate driving, period. So when we went away, I didn't drive for 16 days. We took the train everywhere. If I told you it was my dream, I hate driving. I despise it. I loathe it.
Yeah, I have the luxury of being on the phone with you most times.
Well, we always, our hour and a half commute talking to each other.
And I get to hear how much you hate driving sometimes, like this morning. A couple colorful phrases.
Yeah, I'll throw a mother father out there. Because I got guys, like people just cut you off. Like,
oh, yeah, it's terrible.
Doesn't matter. He just cut you off.
I had someone do that to me yesterday. And there was no reason for her to do it, but she just did it. Nobody in front of her, and yet she still changes lanes. For no reason.
I feel like it takes years off my life.
Yeah, probably.
I freaking hate it.
If you didn't drive, you probably lived to your 105.
Yeah.
Everybody.
It's horrible. And so I get. So here's my question. What's the one thing that you do every day, like every day aspect of life, that you can just give up? Because, listen, I'm not a car guy, all right? Like, if I had a lot of money, I wouldn't be buying cars.
I hear you.
I have somebody drive me around. And yeah, it'd be a comfortable whip, but I'm not looking.
Not getting like the 1960. Ford.
No.
Spending top dollar for somewhere.
No.
You just want something that gets you A to B.
Dude, I don't care about it. And quite frankly, if I had that kind of money, I'd live in a place where I just walk and there'd be no cars.
True. Yeah.
Because in this little dream town that I visited for that project, this dream town, there were no vehicles except on the outskirts of the town. But in the center of it, no cars.
Yeah.
You didn't, there was nobody.
Not even the moped?
Dude, all you did was see people walking. No cars. It was the greatest. It was the best. But what would you give up of everyday life?
I feel like I'm already halfway there most days. But my cell phone. I hate this thing, man. I hate texting. I don't want to look at social media and it's there, right? And what do you do when you're bored? What's the first thing you do? You pick up the phone and you look at it, right? And now you're missing out on everyday life. So I don't want to deal with the cell phone ever again. There was a time where I thought if I didn't get a full-time gig here, and I'm very fortunate that I did, that I would have gone flip phone. Because it is the luxury.
Wow, you would have went flip phone?
Yeah, I would have gone Andrew Luck. I would have gone
flip phone. Wow.
Now, it's nice being in this business, right? You kind of need it, right? I'm scrolling through Twitter pretty much the entire show, trying to get some breaking news. I'm going to give you some more Sixers schedule updates that my man Sham Wow's tweeting out. So I'll give you some of those.
You got to put my man.
Because it's very exciting to me seeing who the Sixers are slated to play early on. But, dude, I would get rid of the cell phone. This past weekend, I was down the shore. I'd put my phone down. The second I arrived in Brigantine, it was like 2:45 in the afternoon. I did not pick my phone back up. It wasn't even charging. It was right where I put it down on a table at my parents' house. I didn't pick it up until we left Sunday mid-afternoon. I had 68 text messages.
Wow.
Who needs that many text messages?
I think one was me talking about the Phillies.
It was, and I apologize, but I wanted to disappear. I have group texts that everybody's blowing up, having side conversations. And here, I prefer a phone call. You and I talk on the phone often. You know, I don't need to text. I could do an email on a computer for work. I don't need this thing. So I would get rid of the cell phone, man.
Wow.
I'd set up a landline.
I can see you doing
a flip phone. Like, I probably need the phone still for communication purposes. If Christy needs to get in touch with me, we have a baby now. You know, so I probably need at least a flip phone.
So you're good. Basically, never to look. Just have the little phone and the emergency bat phone.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, the Tunis phone. I would love to just get rid of this thing.
So you and I are quite the pair, right? You got no phone. I got no car.
Yeah. I'll do the old Rocky. I'll open up. Hey, Paulie!
Your sister's with me.
Like, I don't need it, man. Like, I really don't.
All right. So that's two. Now, I'm curious, what would people be willing to shed? Like, an everyday thing that you go, you know what? I can easily live without that.
There was a time I got chesty. And look, I know there's a lot of people that already do this. I got chesty and I was like, you know what? I think I could live without AC.
Oh, no.
And then, like, you get to August and it's 100 degrees outside. And two of my buddies in Manayunk, they only had the wall unit.
No.
And I would go over their house sometimes and I'd be like, how do you live in here?
Dude, my upstairs,
Yeah, dude.
Is not working, my upstairs air conditioning.
Oh, jeez.
And the early part of August during that heat wave.
Oh, yeah, you're dying.
It was horrible. I sleep downstairs.
Yeah,
it's terrible.
That's terrible. Yeah, I thought for a hot minute I could have lived without AC.
No, but you're a fool. The AC thing, I'm not brave to do that.
No.
I need the AC.
But I know people did it for a long time. People did it.
Yeah, well, I mean, once you get AC, you reach a certain level of comfort.
Now, can I ask you something?
What?
Because I know some people that have the AC up at like 75, 76. What's the point? At that point, it's just kind of circulating hot air. It's not really cooling anything off.
Well, I mean, if your that's not true, because if your house could be in the 80s and you've cooled it to the mid 70s.
Yeah, but it's still like hot.
Well, yeah, that's too hot for me too.
Yeah, I'm a 70 piece.
Yeah, I'll do a 70, 72.
Yeah.
You know, now I know people that are crazy. You know, they'll go 68, 67.
So I did 68 in Manio because it was small, right? So it's not like I had to pay all that much money.
Right.
Now I'm in a house. And so that bill has gone up, obviously. Fortunately, we don't really do too much heat. Like, I'll have it at 66.
Yeah, but see.
During the winter.
66?
Yeah.
My wife keeps it warmer in the winter than it is in the summer. Like, to me, it should be year-round, 72 or 70. I mean, you know, somewhere between 70 and 72. But my wife will put it up higher in the winter. Like a 75,
wow,
76.
Really?
Like I'm at the...
Dude, like you're in San Diego.
Like I'm in the Caribbean. Nah. But you can't live without air conditioning. I'm sorry.
No. That's
like my man, Kay Wills, my upstairs unit isn't working either. I need a new thermostat. I'm dying. You know.
Yeah. At one point in my life, I thought I'd be able to. That ain't happening.
So my man Fish from Baby Blues has a great one.
Okay.
I could do without a suit and tie and wearing long pants to work. I'll throw them all out.
That's kind of my life now.
Dude, that's strong.
That's our lives now. I'm wearing a sweatshirt and shorts today.
That's actually strong by Fish. That you just throw out, like, I don't need a jacket, I don't need a suit tie, blah.
Yeah.
Why?
Every once in a while, you need one for the wedding.
Yeah.
But work reasons, yeah, you don't need
wedding and funerals, right?
Yeah,
and
if you're working from home, too, like half the world is now.
But, like, if you're, you know, a guy like Fish who has a restaurant, Dave Blues, you know, he goes, dude, I don't even want to wear long pants. That's a great answer. I'll give up.
Great answer.
Yeah.
Real quick, my morning thought again involves Cooper because he was up at 3:45 this morning.
Nice.
With the teething.
Cooper's an early riser.
We did the teething 3:45 a.m. But so Christy and I, you know, we got our morning started pretty early. So at like 5:30, we were like, "You want to like go for a walk around the neighborhood?" Dude, guess what the temperature was?
Let's see. At 5:30 this morning?
Yes.
Wow. You got the Revenant going. It's cold. So where was it, like 65?
Lower.
Who was it?
59.
Get out!
We were in the 50s.
Really?
59 degrees.
Oh, that's awesome.
It said on the old iPhone.
Get out of here.
It's the one good use of this damn piece of equipment.
59.
I walked outside in shorts and a t-shirt.
Wow.
And she was getting the baby in the stroller. I was like, oh.
Well, you had to put the hoodie on,
I was like, we got to get a blanket for the kid. 59 degrees outside.
That's strong, dude.
Yeah, man. Felt like football weather.
That's strong. I like it. It's cold. Doesn't have the same meaning anymore.
No. It doesn't.
Yeah. Sometimes
it does not.
Sometimes the image in your head is not the actual image of reality. That all happens often with me.
He was a snake, all right.
He's not
a cobra.
He wasn't a cobra. He was a rattler. He was a rat.
I have some Sixers schedule leagues for you, dude.
All right, I can't wait.
Oh, they're great games.
I love. We got to come up with our schedule too. All right, we got to do the back end of the Eagles 2021. Your own expectations. I got a great nickname for you for a kid who plays corner. Oh, I love it. 610-632-0975. That's how you join us. What would you give out as well? Hit us up either on the phones or on social media, too. Give me some good ones, what you would give up everyday life, and we'll give you FanFest tickets, or you can hit us up, Anthony L. Gargano on Twitter, Anthony Lewis Gargano on Instagram, Ace Alchunas on Twitter and Instagram. It's Cuz Radio with the Tunas, 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 11:30 across the Delaware Valley. Our 11 o'clock hour brought to you by Golden Nugget Jewelers, where Philly gets engaged. Dude, your studio is freezing.
That feels good.
What do you keep it at, 59?
Well, it says... Hold on.
What do you got? What do you keep that studio at?
It says 40 degrees is like the lowest on the little dial, but it doesn't tell me what the actual temperature is. So it just blasts cold air.
Oh, it's freezing.
And then I feel bad.
Is that Connor in there?
That's Tom.
Tommy?
Tom, do you think it feels good or bad? He's thumbs down.
It's freezing, right?
Now, I feel bad. Like, Jen gets cold, so I usually turn it up around 12:30. But for the first 2.5 hours of the program, I just have nothing
dude,
but
absurd,
cold blasting air.
Dude, that's absurd.
It feels nice, man.
Yeah, but it's way nice. Oh, my God. I'm like, listen.
Good, man.
I like it more cold than hot, but not like that.
That's it feels outrageous. Good. Feels good in here, man.
All right,
feels like Sixer season.
Before you hit me with that, let's finish our foray from last year. What we learned from last year. Now, last we left off, they were 3-6. I count two losses to two wins. Carolina and Detroit that were a product of bad quarterback play from the opponent. Now,
yes. In
fairness, 44-6, they rolled.
They beat them up. Rolled. Yeah, big time.
I count four losses that were a product of their horrific defense. And let's face it, their defense was terrible.
Yeah.
Absolutely terrible. So this goes hand in hand. So we begin Week 10 in Denver. Now, you and I were there.
Yes, we were at Philly Sports Trips.
Howard rushed for 83 yards that game. Jalen was very good that game. Devontae had 66 yards. And
he had that ridiculous touchdown in the corner of the end zone. And remember, Hurts could have had two touchdowns, but
yes.
Quez dropped one.
Yes. 30-13 victory.
That was a good win.
It was.
Now, Denver finished, I think, at 500 or right below, but at the time, they were playing well. It was Teddy Bridgewater.
He stinks.
He's terrible. But, that was a good win. Like, at the time, we were saying, good win for the
Eagles.
On the road, mile
high. On the road in Denver, it was a good win. Now, again, the common denominator of some of these wins is the opposing quarterback was absolutely terrible.
Yeah.
Like it was against New Orleans.
Correct.
The following week. Who started that game?
I don't even think it was Taysom Hill, because I think he was banged up, wasn't he?
Right.
Hold on.
And that was a 40-29 victory. The Eagles ran all over the ball. Miles Sanders rushed for 94 in that game.
That game against the Saints, the starting quarterback was that Trevor Siemian.
Yes.
22 of 40.
Trevor's
two picks.
Stinksian. Yes. Horrible. And that was that was one of the reasons why he won the game. Then you lost inexplicably to the Giants 13-7.
Yeah, that couldn't have happened. That was awful.
That was a horrendous loss.
Terrible.
An ugly game. The following week, you beat the Jets with Minshew. also a product of horrific quarterback play. The Jets started that game.
Not Zach Wilson.
Nope.
It was that. I'll let you know in a second. Oh, no, it was Zach Wilson.
Zach played that game?
Yes.
I don't remember Zach Wilson.
Yeah, it was game. Zach Wilson.
He was horrible.
He was terrible.
He was terrible that game. Then Washington. They go. That was the first of four victories in a row. They beat Washington 27-17.
That was the grape, Garrett Gilbert.
Yeah, the Gilbert. The grape. They beat the grape.
He went 20 of 31, 194 yards.
Right. Then they beat the Giants. Who started that game?
That was the neck, Jake Fromm.
Of right, the Fromm.
Wait, no, I think he came in. It was Mike Glennon first.
That's right. It was that's right.
Jake Fromm.
Glennon and then Fromm. Where did Fromm play school
at? It was Georgia, wasn't it?
No.
No.
Fromm. Was it Georgia? Why was I thinking?
Yeah, Georgia. I just looked it up. Yeah. Georgia.
Look
that's
at
what
that.
I thought. Yeah, Jake from State Prom. I still
right, right.
That.
From, yeah, you're right. Then you got Washington again.
Heinicke was back. For
that's
that.
Right. Not exactly Montana.
No, he went 27-36, zero touchdown passes.
And then Dallas.
And that was the game where they didn't play anybody. The Eagles. And the Cowboys ran up the score.
Yes. 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 That was a product of some bad quarterbacks. Now, my man Jared Hoffman on Twitter, on Instagram, is arguing with me over the Niners game. That they should have won the game. We beat ourselves.
Could have.
Well, I don't know. I don't know why we're arguing this point. Garoppolo missed. Was horrible that game.
He was awful.
He missed open plays constantly. Come on. Look at it. Take the goggles off and look at the game correctly. Stop. I don't know why you're arguing nonsense. The bottom line off of last year and the 9-8 was they weren't that good.
No,
right.
They weren't. No, the Eagles were not a good football team last year.
They weren't that good. They somehow make the playoffs. It's unbelievable. They get destroyed by Tampa.
Yeah, and that's like, you know, we kind of knew that going into it, that it wasn't going to go well.
You look at the quarterbacks that were played, the shape of offenses. I mean, it wasn't. Now, conversely, this defense is light years better than last year.
Yes, it is. And I need to say this, and look, people know that I'm not like this big believer in Jalen Hurts by any means, but one of the things that I don't like seeing is when people go, Hurts is going to be better. He got them to the playoffs last year. I think we ignore what we just went through.
Yeah.
Jake Fromm, Mike Glennon, Garrett Gilbert, Teddy Bridgewater. I think we ignore
Trevor Siemian.
Yeah, like look, Hurts is dynamic with his legs. He really is. That Saints game, I just looked it up, where he only attempted, I think, 17 passes. He ran the ball 16 times and had over 100 yards rushing. The team ran over 40 times that game. Miles Sanders had 10 carries. Jordan Howard had 16. Like they ran the ball a lot that
Sanders
game.
Sanders was the leading rusher at 94 yards that game.
And you had Hurts. You had Jordan Howard run the football. Hurts didn't get them there with his arm, okay? He's going to have to use his arm more this year. He is a dynamic runner, but a lot of people always make the case of, look, the Eagles got to the playoffs last year with this with that team, with Hurts as the quarterback. They're only going to get better, and he's going to be better, and maybe they'll win a playoff game this year. They could win a playoff game this year, but I need to remind people, it's not like Hurts led them to the playoffs last year. They got to the playoffs because they started running the football and because the teams that they played were trash.
Yeah.
Trash.
I mean,
and the Eagles were better than them.
I mean, I think that's fair. I don't know. Listen, if you feel differently, now's your time. We'll debate this because, I mean, we went through the schedule and I think it pretty much sits, you know, kind of stands for itself. Like, they were 9-8, and a lot of their wins came against really bad quarterbacks. And when I look back on that season, the defense was horrendous, which makes me more hopeful for this season.
Yes, definitely.
Listen, I don't know what's going to, I don't know what Jalen's going to be this year. I don't. I have no idea. No idea. Here's what I don't believe. I don't believe that there are, I heard Ty say this the other day, or yesterday, that there are a legion of Hurts haters. Now, hey, all due respect, Ty's way more in tune with social media than I am. So maybe there are. But I don't believe in that there are a bunch of Hurts haters. Because, first of all, I don't see what there is to hate about him as a guy.
Yeah.
Like, he's a good it's dude. One thing to hate Ben Simmons.
Carson Wentz.
Whatever. Those guys are hateable, right? Like, there's hate. There's a reason to hate them. I think most people genuinely like Jalen because what's there not to like about him? He's got a great personality. Just does. He's got a great personality, and he loves to play the game, and he's great with people. He's the easiest person to root for. Or seriously.
His teammates love him, dude. I mean, Jordan Mailata takes every second he can to talk him up.
He is in just a lovable figure. So I don't believe that there are a bunch of other just like group out there. These Hurts haters, the HH club.
Yeah, I don't say Hurts haters. I say there are people who want to be right. And there are people that think Jalen Hurts stinks. And they'll go, see? And they'll point out every flaw that they can.
So here's my take on that. I think there's legitimate reason to go into this season doubting Jalen. Because when you look back on those games last year, even the games where he threw for the gaudy numbers, right? I'll give you all his numbers. 264, 190, 326, 387. 387 against Kansas City. That's a big number. Now, a lot of it came in garbage time when they're playing soft.
Right.
Right? You're playing soft coverage. 196, 115, 236, 103, 162, 178, 147, 129. Now, those are very low numbers, but again, some of them, the game was in hand. He didn't need to throw.
He didn't need to.
He needed to throw against Detroit. He needed to throw against Denver. All right. 242, 296, 199, 214. All right, so these are his passing numbers. There's a reason to go, all right, well, I need to see it. Before I can anoint him that I got supreme confidence, I got to see him throw the football. And I think that's fair. I need to see him throw the football. I'm going to give him the blank slate, second year in the system, feel more comfortable, right? I know he's got some good intangibles. And he's a weapon because he can run the football. But he's got the intangibles. He's a smart kid. He should be able to pick stuff up and get the ball out and be able to overcompensate for a lack of a big boy throw down the field.
Yeah, and even though he only threw the ball six times in the preseason game, and that'll probably be the only six throws he makes in the preseason, I doubt he's going to play the next 2 weeks, especially after he took that hit. I'm not going to overreact to preseason football, but that throw he made where he stood in the pocket, the touchdown pass to Dallas Goedert, he'd have happy feet on that throw. Stood in the pocket, made a throw, was Goedert wide open? Yeah. But at least he hit him.
Yeah, I mean, again,
put him in a spot to be able to finish the score.
So, but that's the thing, like, where I don't want, now again, I'm going to be selfish here. I want us all to go into the season on the same page. Because I think it's the right page, which is you're rooting like hell for him, but you got to see it. All right? Then you're going to have degrees of confidence. But I think everybody, you're an Eagle fan. You're going to be rooting, enjoying them, and hoping.
Yep.
And also understanding that it ain't a lock.
Correct.
And he's got a lot of work to do to become the quarterback to be a Super Bowl contender with his arm.
Well, and that's the other thing. And it's going to, I don't even want to get into it right now. It's August, right? But there might be a tough conversation at the end of the season because even with some of his limitations, I still think this team is good enough to win 10, 11 games and get to the playoffs and host a playoff game and potentially win a playoff game. But they still might be a quarterback away, right? Like, you can win, you can get to the playoffs without a top 10 quarterback, but can you actually get to the Super Bowl and be a, like, a dynasty?
Yep.
A dynasty, right? Not just flash in the pan, they win the Super Bowl. Forgive me, I want to try to win multiple. I don't know why that's wrong with me. It's why I want to trade for Kevin Durant. It's why I wanted to trade for Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers if he was actually available. It's why I want to pay big money for baseball players. It's why I want to trade, do a sign and trade for Johnny Gaudreau. Because you want talent to try to actually have a dynasty, not just say, oh, I like that guy. Maybe he can win one for me. I want to win multiple.
Well, whatever.
I mean, I don't think that's crazy.
No, well, it's not. But again... I think there's a way where everybody should be unified. You root for the kid. But again, you have to also acknowledge that he's got to do better than last year. And that's it.
Yeah.
And then you don't carry the judgment. You just let it wash over you. That's my point about no expectations. I just want to let this thing wash over me. And I can analyze it as it goes on. Right or wrong?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, it's...
Is that the right mentality for all of us to be on the same page?
It's what we should do. It's going to be tough, right? Because for the people that don't believe in Jalen Hurts, the first time they see something go wrong, let's say it is in week one, they're going to point it out. But in the same breath, the people that are like super Jalen Hurts fans, right? Like he's the guy moving forward. Pay him the big money when his contract is up.
I don't hear that. I'll be honest with you. I don't hear that.
Well, there's people that love him, right?
And well, so, yeah, I don't hear pay him the big money.
Well, he's going to ask for it in 2 years. Why wouldn't he with the way the quarterbacks are getting paid? But
I don't hear anyone saying lock him up now.
No, but when his contract is done, there are people that think he's going to be a quarterback for 5+ years here. 10 years here.
Okay, I don't know yes or no to that fact. Maybe, maybe not. But I don't hear anybody, like, nobody in your right mind would lock him up now.
No, not now.
We're going into a season that's the prove-it season.
No, I'm saying, but when his contract is up.
This is the prove-it season. I mean, I don't think that's harsh to say in any way. It's a prove-it season. This is it. You know, prove it.
Until you get to week 8, and there's people saying, no, he needs more time. He needs next year, too.
I mean, everybody understands. Either he's going to be the guy, it's going to happen this year, or you're going to go look for a quarterback. I mean, I think isn't it cut and dry? Like, you guys, let me know. I don't know how you guys feel about this. I just think it's a logical approach.
It's how it should be, yes. I'm with you, man. This is a year where you look, he's the guy 17 weeks. There's no Minshew mania. There's no.
Oh, he stinks.
There's no Stinnett. There's no Carson Strong. I had a guy call him when you were out. I'm giving Hurts till week 8. And if he doesn't do good, Carson Strong's my guy. And I'm like, nah, dude, Carson Strong? Nah. He's not even having a good camp.
No.
Like, nah. There's Minshew and Stinnett before you get to Carson Strong. But I mean, there are people that are already out on Hurts and won't give him the year. Like, there's already that mindset. They're already talking themselves into him being bad, and what are we going to do next?
I mean, that's...
And that's crazy.
That's the other end of the spectrum.
He's got to get 17 weeks. Good and bad.
I mean, that's the other end.
Unless you're 0-8.
Yeah, no.
Which, that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
Right. But it's his job the whole year. There's no question about it's his job. That's ridiculous. It is interesting. How we approach this. All right. So let's do this. Let's, going into lunchtime, let's open up the phone calls. We'll open up the phone lines. I need this. It's a litany of things I need from you guys. Number one, I need some caller scouts. So if you want to pick a guy that you want, that you need, let me know. All right? Pick your guy. that you want to scout. Now, that means you got to call up every week during the week and assess whether it's a position group or whether it's the, one of the coaches, whatever you want. All right? I think we got Nikki doing the doing Jonathan Gannon, and that's it.
Yes.
So we need caller scouts. We address the idea of how we're going to approach this season. I like to be unified in our approach, which is not being weighed down by expectations, not making carrying judgment, good or bad, with Jalen.
Good luck.
And enjoying the whole thing. Now, I'm curious. I don't know. Can we do that? Is it possible? And things every day that you would just get rid of, that you can live without. I give you the power. What is it? I'm giving up driving, and Tunis is giving up the phone. 610-632-0975.
I can get rid of an oven.
Jeff McClain, you are weird.
Just eat everything cold.
I know you would.
I could grill.
You psychopath.
I could live with the grill the rest of my life.
Okay. You're just insane. Cuz Radio with the Tunis, who's insane. 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Across the Delaware Valley. Cuz Radio with the Tunis. All right, so in addition to all of our football, and then we're going to go over the schedule in a minute, and we're going to talk to Jeff McClain coming up at 12:30. Let's go over our own schedule. All right. I love schedules, Tunis. So.
You hate structure, but you like schedules in sports.
Yes.
You don't even like daily schedules. Honestly, you kind of just lied to everybody saying you love schedules. You love sports schedules.
Yes.
Because you don't like schedules.
No, I don't like me on a schedule. No, I don't like that. I love sports schedules.
Whether you like it or not.
I probably got some doc in me. I will admit. I will admit to that, Judas. I promise. So, let's look at the schedule. We got to plan the whole schedule. We can do our W's and L's, but we need to come up with the schedule.
Well, you know me, I do like planning, so.
You're a planner.
I'm all about this, dude.
So, I need to do this, and I'm doing this for a reason. I'm killing two birds with one stone, because I need to come up with the schedule starting in September through the holidays.
Okay.
Of the big moments.
And by the way, dude, the holidays are going to be busy.
I know. And I need to get a handle on this now, Tunis.
Christy not thrilled, it seems, when I told her that we have...
Eagles Sixers,
Christmas Eve, Christmas Day.
I mean, it's a full-up new sports extravaganza.
Yes.
All right? It's an extravaganza. So I need to go over all of the schedule. I got a question for you.
Yes.
Before we get there... My man, Anthony Hobson, I love him. His son plays football, all right? He's a terrific, the youngin' is a corner, and a terrific corner. So his defensive back coach calls him Seatbelt because he straps receivers down, baby.
That's good, man. That's a good nickname.
I love this Seatbelt.
It's a good nickname.
So here's the question. Anthony says his wife is making up shirts, the seatbelt.
Dude.
That, He said, is that a violation? I say no violation.
No, I love that. She's involved.
Yeah, the fact the coach gave the nickname Seatbelt. He straps receivers down.
Yeah, no, that's awesome.
Young Hobson, I say no violation.
No violation. Now, if he made them himself.
Oh, the youngin?
Yeah.
No, the youngin can't make them. No, no.
No, but mom's making them.
Yeah, mom should. That's awesome. Right?
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, that's parent pride right there. I love that.
Yeah, I'm in on that.
I'm so excited for that. I think that's nice. We got to follow him. This kid's a baller, dude. The seatbelt is a baller.
If you get a nickname like that, you better be good.
Yeah, no, the kid can play, awesome. Man. The kid can play. All right, so let's do this. Let's look at the schedules. Now, I want to start in September. And what's the busiest team in September?
Yeah, well,
Phillies. All right.
They also got Eagles kicking off.
I know. But let's do it. I'm actually, because I'm a psycho, Junis, you are a psycho with certain things and me with others. I'm going to do it. I'm actually writing this down in a notebook.
Okay. are we gonna put it up somewhere?
Yes, we will. We will put it up, I promise.
Okay.
All right?
Structure. Love it.
All right, you're a fan of structure.
Let's open it up in chat.
All right. So here's the deal. This is what we need to do going forward. By the way, when I was in Wawa this morning, the pumpkin spice coffee is out.
Oh, that overrated item? That gets way too much love for it really not being that much different than regular coffee?
I got to tell you, people go nuts. I heard someone say, oh, the pumpkin.
Can I say
and
something?
And I was like,
can I say
first
something?
Of all, it's still, even though September is, pumpkin's autumn. We don't really reach autumn until October, no? Like, to me, autumn is October.
Yeah, I think of Halloween.
November.
I think of Halloween, so late October.
Right? Like, autumn really is, like, you want to go last week of September, like, all right. But really, it's October, November.
Yeah. That's how I would look at it. Yeah, the pumpkin spice. And, dude, these flavored coffees, like, you get your holiday blends, they smell different.
The spice.
They all smell different.
The holiday spice.
But they all kind of taste the same.
Well, that's not.
There's
I
a
just,
little hint of something.
I just think the most spice. Overrated. The most overrated spice is the pumpkin.
Yeah. I like a pumpkin pie.
You do?
Yeah.
I don't do the pie.
I love a pumpkin pie.
I don't do pie.
I had a little lemon meringue.
Yeah.
This past weekend down the shore, yeah.
Really?
That was delicious.
I don't do the pie. But you like the pumpkin pie?
Yeah, I'm a piesman.
You are?
Yeah, dude. I could crush a whole one by myself. Being honest.
So you are you're a pumpkin man?
No, I just don't do pumpkin spice. Just give me a regular cup of coffee.
But if you like pumpkin pie, what's the difference?
Major difference. There's actual flavor to it.
Well, I mean, I guess it's like the coffee, no?
No. Total difference.
I'll give it to you.
Okay, thank you.
All right. I don't know that. It's different than, say, Edie Falco. Who's your boy?
Oh, Shane Falco?
Yeah.
Great system quarterback.
By the way, I actually looked at a clip. Somebody sent me a clip of it.
Okay.
He's horrible. The only thing worse than John Wick as my quarterback is Favreau as a linebacker.
Oh, dude, you can't base it off of a clip.
Stinks.
You can't
base
it off of a clip.
He's worse than Simino. He's horrible.
Oh, he's a replacement player. He's not an NFL talent.
He's not even a guy.
That's the point of the movie.
He couldn't play with the seatbelt.
That's the point of the movie is that they are replacement players. They had to fight them all over the place. It's part of the story. You as a storiesman should understand
that's a
this.
Bad story.
You're too
bad
locked story. In on the damn talent because you want to build your own team. But you know what? You might not have Shane Falco as your guy, but when you got nobody available, you need a quarterback. You go with the guy who's currently cleaning off barnacles off the bottom of a boat. which is the beginning of the movie, which you wouldn't know because you didn't see it.
He stinks. He's got a rag arm. Rag arm.
That's why it wasn't the NFL or whatever the league was.
Well, what is the purpose? I'd rather have Carson Strong than Edie Falco.
Yeah, but Shane Falco won awards in college.
I'd rather have Carson Strong be my quarterback in that realm. All right. September 11th, the Lions.
Yes.
Now, that's a 1 o'clock game, Chunas.
Yeah, same time as the Phillies game. Eagles obviously trump the Fightins there.
Who the Phillies got that day?
The Nats.
All right. We should just look for Mets or Braves.
Yeah, the only time the Phillies not trump.
Give me the Phillies schedule for Mets Braves in September.
Mets Braves. Braves, we do have a weekend slate in Atlanta. 16th, 17th, 18th of September. 18th is a Sunday, 1:35 first pitch.
All right.
Eagles play Monday night that week. That's week two. So that works out for the Philadelphia schedule.
So we get Minnesota.
Yeah, Monday night.
8:30 at home. That's awesome, dude. Look at this.
Could you imagine the vibes if the Phils take like 2 or 3 in Atlanta and then they win on Monday night? Eagles win Monday night? Dude.
We got to do, you know what? I'm going to Instagram our schedule. This is for all of us here.
Okay.
All right. So we got Vikings home, 8:30. So what are the other Phillies games that matter in the month?
Four more against the Braves in the month of September. Another weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday special. September 25th, 1:05 first pitch.
1:05.
So that's Carson. That's Philly sports trips, man. There's almost 1,000 people going at this point.
Wow, there's 1,000 people.
He's at 700 now.
Vince is at 700. Yeah. Can we get to 1,000 people?
Yeah,
for Philly sports trips to go down there.
100%.
Are you kidding me?
PhillySportsTrips.com, man.
How awesome would that be?
Dude, so he was on with us on Saturday.
I actually want to talk to him because I want to hype up the road games.
Guess what he did?
What did he do?
With the tickets. He bought 500 tickets in one end zone, 500 in the other. So imagine.
Oh, so he's got 1,000 tickets right now?
Yeah. Imagine Carson up against his own end zone with ravenous Eagles fans behind him.
That's actually a strong move by Vince.
Great move by Vince. He's a sportsman, too.
That's a great move, actually. I agree.
Weekend slate for the Phils against the Braves.
So what is that? September
25th is that Sunday. Right. Fan Appreciation Day.
Right.
There's not.
And that's at home?
Yep. Yes.
So we get home records. We're on the road with Washington.
I get that you do Fan Appreciation Day, the final home game of the season. But if you're the Phillies, like you know it's against the Eagles. Why wouldn't you do it on Saturday?
Yeah.
And they do a tremendous job, the Phillies.
They do. They do.
I would think you do that Saturday.
Yeah, it's you do need to be in this because we're doing an exercise schedule today.
Yeah.
And one of the things when you're doing this schedule, you got to also know you got to know the audience. Like you got a Sunday, a football NFL Sunday.
Yeah, you go appreciation Saturday night.
Right. You don't need to, you don't need to do that. All right. So then we got
no Mets in September.
No.
You got a lot of Marlins, Cubs, Nationals, Giants to start. You get two at Toronto in September. Here.
Okay. All right. Now let's look at it.
Oh, I just looked. That's tough. It's Braves 3, Jays 2, Braves 4. Dude.
Yeah, that's
rough. That's 9 straight difficult games.
Yeah, that's rough. Man, they rocked the Mets last night, too. Did you see
13-1,
that?
13-1, yeah.
Carrasco, they rocked him. That kid Schrader pitch, he's good. He's so good.
Yeah, he's nasty.
All right, so let's look at it. Birds, next big game, Doug comes back. You got to put this on your schedule.
Of course.
Doug comes back October 2nd.
And the day before that's FanFest.
Wow, that's right.
October 1st.
Put that on your schedule.
Burr should be 3-0 going into Fan Fest.
Dude, Fan Fest could be awesome.
Yeah, man, because the Phils could clinch. October 1st is a doubleheader in D.C.
Wow.
They could clinch a playoff spot that day.
Wow, you got to be kidding me. All right.
Now, let me ask you, October 2nd, it's a 1 o'clock game for the Birds against the Jags, correct?
Yep.
Phils, 1:35 first pitch. What if that is the day they can clinch?
Who do they got, Nats?
Nats.
Yeah.
That's got to be a double TV setup, no?
Have to. Oh, clinch?
Yeah, clinch.
Yeah, yeah.
First time in a decade?
No, you can get in the playoffs without a doubt.
Yeah, man.
Without a doubt. I'm with you. The MLB playoffs start, what is it, the 7th?
Yeah, so remember yesterday we were talking about how the season ends on a Sunday and we were upset that it started Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Remember, because the season was delayed, they still have three games against Houston.
3, 4, 5, right?
Yes.
Yes.
So the 5th is the last day of the regular season. The 7th is the first day of the wild card playoffs.
Right.
Where they play three straight days.
So Phillies will be playing, we believe, 7, 8, 9.
Yeah.
And at the 9th, which is a Sunday, at Arizona.
Is that 4 o'clock?
4:25.
So you have to hope that the Phils have like the early afternoon slate.
4:25 there, dude.
Could you imagine if it was Eagles 4:25, Phils 8 o'clock?
Oh, yeah, that would be a lot of fun. We are geeking out today. I don't care. Here we go. So you'll have Major League Baseball wild card 7, 8, 9. And then you'll have, oh, my God. The 16th. Are you ready for this week? Sunday Night Football. Eagles-Cowboys.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Eagles-Cowboys, 8:20 Sunday night, October the 16th.
Do you know what's 2 days later?
I was about to say that to you. 2 days later, on October the 18th, Sixers-Celtics.
One of the new homes for Kevin Durant.
To kick off the NBA season, a doubleheader on TNT, Sixers-Celtics, Lakers-Warriors.
And Kevin Durant could be playing that night.
2 days after, Eagles, Cowboys.
And you got Sixers, Celtics. You're two hated teams, man.
We get Dallas and Boston in the same week, 2 days apart.
Now, I've been telling you that more have come out.
Oh, my God.
Do you want to know what's 2 days after Sixers, Celtics? How about in South Philadelphia? Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Bucks come to town.
Sixers Bucks?
Yeah.
On a Thursday, TNT?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Now, the league is setting something up, man. Sixers getting highlighted that early?
And we know they're playing Christmas Day.
Against the Knicks, correct.
They're going to get Durant. They're getting Durant. You know they're getting Durant.
Now,
you're going to get Durant.
I have an interesting tweet for you. And I don't know if it's a read between the lines piece. And I also don't know if it's just Sham being, clutch sports.
Right.
But he put out a tweet. Notable opener on the NBA schedule. New Orleans at Brooklyn on October 19th. Featuring the regular season returns of all-star Zion Williamson and Ben Simmons. No mention of Zion v. Durant.
Or Kyrie. Because Kyrie will be playing the night before in Los Angeles.
The Lakers, yeah. They're highlighting Zion v. Ben. That's if Ben even plays.
What does he do? Does he even play?
I heard Bobby C. saying it this morning. He's like, dude, I wouldn't be shocked if he just never plays again. I heard him say it this morning.
How does he never play? There's, that can't be. He what, will just retire?
Look, he just got who knows how much money from the Sixers in that settlement.
Okay, but he lives large, though. He goes through it like water.
That's true.
Where are you going to get where are you going to get that kind of money? Where are you getting NBA money from?
Yeah.
If you're not an NBA player, he'll play because of the money. What are you going to do? He's not going to, he's just going to retire. He's what, 26 years old?
Yeah. Nah, he'll play.
That's
does
my point.
Does he start the regular season?
Or
is,
who knows?
There, is there another absence?
Who knows?
By the way, I love Brian Swanson, who got chesty. He said, he's basically saying that we're looking at it all wrong. The Phils win both of the first two games, and then they're off Sunday.
Wow. That would be awesome.
Pretty cool.
That would be awesome. That'd
be against the Braves, by the way. If the season ended today, that'd be difficult.
That would be fantastic.
But that's Wheeler Nola, man.
We get Wheeler Nola. Oh, my God. Oh, man. This is going to be amazing. Look at this month of October. Look at this, Junis. Eagles, Cowboys, Sixers, Celtics, Sixers, Bucks. And then we come back. The bye is the following week, right?
Yeah, the 23rd.
And then the 30th is Eagles Steelers. Oh, man. Wow. Dude, I don't care, whatever it is. It's the black and gold. Like, we get the black and gold in Pittsburgh.
Could be picking at that point. Trubisky's just terrible. Who knows?
Wow. Let me ask you one more question, dude. We omitted something. Is it worth even talking about?
No. I'm not watching them.
The opener?
I'm not watching them.
Not even the opener?
Nope.
Because on October 13th, 3 days before the Cowboys to open the season, the Flyers play the Devils.
Yeah, that'll be a fun 3-1 loss.
Dude, and then they come back the night of the 18th, Sixers-Celtics, a doubleheader. Sixers-Celtics, Flyers, Lightning. They're going to lose 9-1.
Yeah. Oh, I'll tell you what hockey game I'm watching. Hold on, let me pull up Columbus Blue Jackets schedule. I'll let you know the first hockey game I watch in the regular season will be October 12th, Jackets Canes.
Karate, Mark! Karate!
Yo, what's up, guys?
Yo, Karate!
Yo, I just got one of the best experiences ever. Our boy E-Rock treated me to over the Eagles training camp, the Eagles practice today.
Aw, dude, that's fantastic!
First time at the NovaCare, first time on the sidelines. Man, oh, man, this was absolutely awesome. Got to see it firsthand, up close and personal. Beautiful day.
What did you think? What was your takeaway?
Our tight ends are nice. In my opinion, they stole the show. They just look big. They look fast. They all got hands. We got a new kid. He's number 83. I ain't even going to try to say his name. Looks like a Polynesian kind of name. Begins with a T.
Yeah.
Got a couple there. That kid is nice. He's a big, bad boy. And nobody was able to hang with him. Got two touchdowns today. One on the 11-11, one on the 7-on-7. I like our tight ends a lot, cuz.
Look at you. You feel that you're feeling it too. Now let me ask you, what are your expectations?
God, I mean, I for the last couple weeks, I was thinking 10 wins is going to be good. I think 10 wins, if that beats our, what are we scheduled for, or 9.5 is our over-under, something like that.
Somewhere, I think it's up to 10 now. Yeah.
I think 10's going to be easy, but then I see this kid, Jordan Davis. Don't know if you ever heard of him, but that's a big kid that we got in Philly. I mean, three people. He's just pushing three men with ease. He's not trying out there because my man's cutting weight out there. Jordan Davis is out there. He's got the hoodie on underneath. He's got the trash bag hoodie on underneath of the jersey. He's going to be lean and mean.
Dude, he's unbelievable.
We went 17 this year. I went from 10 to 17. 17 to no this year.
Is right. All right, we're going to take a quick TO. We'll come back. Chet McClain will join us, talk birds, and then we'll continue our. We're getting you set for the fall. If you'll thank us, man, and we're going to tweet this out, and this way you can just put it right in your phone. This is the Cousin Chunis schedule. Like, you ever see those real estate, you know, the realtor, and they send you the schedules, or the Wawa does it too? We're going to have our own schedule, but it's a month. Like, it's every day of the month.
Because it's calendar.
Yes. Dude. And you just download it. Actually, we should do that, dude. It's actually a brilliant idea.
It's the next project.
All right. We're going to do that. We're going to make it happen.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Across the Delaware Valley. Our 12 o'clock hour brought to you by the great people at Service First Heating and Air Conditioning. Yes, Service First Heating and Air Conditioning. Service First HVAC. It's Brian.com. So today, Johnny Kincaid took his lovely Liv to Temple. He got her securely in her dormitory, and there were no tears from dad or mom.
Yeah, he sent me the text as well. And
I'm shocked.
I'm not. At first I thought yes, but then remember, he spent a lot of time away with the Atlanta. So, you know, I think he was used to being apart.
Yeah. Did you see what I just did?
No, did you spill?
I spilled the coffee.
Oh, no.
Knocked it right over.
That's a huge loss.
And you're a guy who could, you like, space out your cup of coffee for hours.
I do, because it's my fifth cup, and I'm so mad. Ask Dylan to come in with some napkins, please. It's a big spill, cuz. It's a big
spill. Really?
Yeah, monster spill.
Dude.
Yeah. All right, I got to get my man, Shame.
Shame.
Shame. Shame. I need my man, Jet McClain, on the Comcast Business Hotline. I got to chop it up with him. Good morning, Jeffrey.
Anthony, what's up?
Or good afternoon.
Yes.
My main man, I got to tell you, we've been doing this for a long time. I mean, I don't know, since you got on the beat, I think you and I have been talking about the birds. I don't think I'm as excited for a team, for an Eagles team, as much as I am for this year.
Wow, even coming off 2017?
Yeah, I mean, you know, listen, I thought I was, you know, thrilled. I mean, obviously Super Bowl, and it was kind of extraordinary circumstances, right? The only Super Bowl ever. But in looking over the roster over the last, you know, several years, I love this defense. I love the front. I'm so excited to watch Jordan Davis and this group of linebackers and that defensive front. Their front seven is really good.
It should be. You know, when you and I spoke back in April, or was it May, after the draft and free agency, and you kind of had excitement even then, and mine was a little tempered because, yeah, I've been around a long time, and certainly I feel like with some of these guys, you can look at how things could go south in terms of the guys they brought in. Or not south, but just not ideal.
Not pan out. Yep.
Ideally how you want it to pan out. But I got to say, just after being, you know, now seeing this team practice for almost 3 weeks and one preseason game and just kind of getting the vibe of covering what is now my 14th training camp, I'm starting to kind of see it too. And if we're going to stick specifically on the defensive side of the ball, I mean, I got to give Howie credit. He really went out and addressed the areas in which he needed to address. And there's basically a trickle-down effect, and it starts with the guy in the middle, the big guy in the middle. I mean, that having that nose tackle, a legitimate, you know, guy that you can line up over the center or line up, you know, to either side of him, just creates a trickle-down effect where it's now you don't have to have Javon Hargrave doing that as much. You don't have to have Fletcher Cox doing it the few times that he did it last year. They can be more in the 4-eye or 3-tech spot. And what that does is it moves guys like Josh Sweat doesn't have to play that role as much inside. And you know, Taron Jackson is a guy further down the depth chart. You saw Ryan Kerrigan have him do it last year. Those guys, that was not a position that they excelled in. And it was kind of a waste of what their specific skill set is. And then getting Hassan Reddick in turn does the same thing. You have a strong side linebacker that's been that guy for the last 2 years.
Exactly.
And then, you know, and then at the other positions, you have upgrades. You know, Kaiser White looked pretty good. I think N'Kobe Dean is a good developmental linebacker that you have. He probably won't start, but at some point you may see him getting a rep.
How about the way he flows to the ball? How about the way N'Kobe Dean flows to the football? I mean, I loved watching him in Georgia, and I love the way they flow to the football. Man, they got speed too, Jeff. Like, that's the thing that had me like, look at this team. I got it. Like, you're right. I was like this since the draft. I loved the pieces he's put around. We'll get to the offense in a moment, but you're right. Then you had, like, real professional corners.
Right. And it's, yeah. So you have Bradbury, obviously, Darius Slay, the Pro Bowl corner. Safety, I think, is still a concern.
Yes. Without a doubt.
Safety still a concern.
It is.
And we saw that position being exploited last year. And, you know, a lot of teams don't have every position covered. You have to sit in the salary cap. You have to certainly go light at certain spots. They've opted to go light safety. I mean, they play him almost 30 yards deep half the time anyway. But, you know, just getting back to Gannon, this is, you know, John, the last year he didn't exactly have the guys he needed. And you could argue that he didn't play to the strengths of his players because he was implementing a new scheme and he didn't have the personnel. But now he has pretty much essentially the guys, and it's on him now to make it work. And he's got to do things to, you know, put those guys in the right spot. And doesn't, you know, look, there were times last year I thought where they were just too predictable in defense. They didn't, they weren't disguising their coverages as much pre-snap. They weren't mixing up their rushes. I thought, you know, the point of having a multiple front going 3-4 or 4-3 or 5-2, whatever it is that they don't know if they're going to rush 4 or 5.
Right.
And you didn't do that very much last year. Now you have a guy like Hassan who's kind of certainly he's got speed and he's got some power, but he's also a guy that you can do different things with in terms of scheme and, you know, whether he's going to drop or not. So Jonathan's got the pieces. And I'm pretty sure that the Eagles are telling him, like, the message is, get it done. I mean, I don't know if I want to make too much of this, but it was interesting that Vic Fangio was at training camp 3 times. The most desirable defensive coordinator on the market, a guy who basically runs this scheme, is at Eagles practice.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand he's a guest of whoever they're saying.
Right.
I know he knows Howie, but, I mean, if I'm reading it, if I'm just looking at this from the outside, to me, the underlying message is, like, hey, Jonathan, we gave you your guys.
Right.
This is where we can go if this doesn't work this year.
I mean, and I love it because I love Vic Fangio. I love the person, the personnel, and that's my point. And I'm so glad you see it. Listen, I covered his team since Andy's first year in 99, right? Now, not like on a beat like you have, but I mean, close, especially when Andy was here. This group, what he's done, I agree. Listen, they got to get safety, and he knows it. I know he knows it. Yeah. You know, I mean, the safety's one spot. But you look at last year. Last year, the only reason why they win 9 games, we just went through all the games, was because they just play horrible quarterbacks between the Glennons and the Gilbert Grapes and all all those guys, Teddy Bridgewater. I mean, they were horrible. And that defense was awful. I mean, you know, I mean, we remember Herbert and Brady and Derek Carr, and they would have lost. They would have got smashed by the Niners had Garoppolo been accurate that day. Like, their defense was horrendous last year. And you look at it now, in one fell swoop, BG looks great, right? Like, their front looks really good. They
Scott
got
Quest looked good all camp.
Yeah,
I mean,
man.
Really, they've won most practices versus this offense. And so you could say the offense is struggling, and you can make, that point. But I think you got to give the defense and John Gannon and the personnel and certainly what Howie's done and give them credit as well for what they've looked so far. All that being said, we're talking about practice,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. We're
talking a preseason game against the Jets.
Yep.
You can look at each of these guys. I mean, Hassan Reddick, there's a reason why Carolina let him walk. There's a reason why there weren't really a lot of teams that were kind of willing to pay that. Jordan Davis, worry about him in terms of maintaining the weight. Kaiser White, again, why was he a guy that no one really was willing to pay? I was shocked the Eagles could get him for it. They got him for. Same thing about James Bradbury. But there are teams, there are guys who slip through the cracks, and not everyone can spend in free agency. And I think what the Eagles did essentially was they looked at each spot and they addressed it. And I think for the most part, they got the best possible acquisition.
I'm with you. All right. Some news today. We're talking to Jeff McClain, Inquirer.com. Follow him on Twitter. He's a great follow and listen to him. So Miles Sanders, a little hammy. What's the deal with him today?
Well, he wasn't at practice on Sunday either. They called it leg soreness. So maybe they couldn't identify it, but it's a hamstring. At this point, not a huge issue, but considering Sanders and how injured he was last year and essentially maybe even the year before, it's something to keep your eye on.
Yeah, because I'm expecting a big year for him.
He came in really good at camp. I mean, he looked really good at camp. He looked like he was, playing with a chip on his shoulder. He got a little testy with reporters because some people had kind of made a bigger deal of him running with the twos. I know that he really spent a lot of time. I mean, I think he's really a hard worker, but I think this year maybe paid extra special attention to like not getting these nagging injuries in terms of his health. Obviously a contract year.
Yep.
I'm not saying he'd be playing for money, et cetera, but like deep down, don't tell me it's not a factor.
Oh, of course.
For everybody.
Yeah.
But running back is another area I think I'd be a little concerned about.
I think they're thin there.
They're thin because you have the Miles issue
in
terms of injuries. Kenny Gainwell, to me, has not really had a great camp. He's been injured a little bit, so that's one.
And I'm not in love with him running the football.
The thing that's concerned me, really, Anthony, is that the guy that you've heard more about him as a pass catcher than a runner.
Yeah.
And today he had a couple drops. One would have been a really tough catch. That's a catch you got to make. There was another one that was just a flat-out drop. 2 days ago, he caught a ball, and then Kaiser White stripped it from him pretty easily. And then he doesn't really have that. He's fast. Don't get me wrong. I think Kenny's an NFL player. Don't get me wrong. But does he have that extra kind of giddy up that you want to see out of that that second running back?
I don't know.
I have a feeling you end up seeing Boston in that spot as much as Kenny. And
yeah.
I can see them certainly looking around the market.
I could see that too.
Here.
Yeah. Yeah, I could totally see that. Hey, tell me about let's look at the receivers for a second. So does Covey make it?
I have him on right now. I was a little concerned when he hurt his thumb in the first preseason game, but he's back out there. He ran full today. He was making a bunch of catches with a thumb injury. So gives you, he basically solves the return issue. I think he's the smoothest punt returner out there.
Yeah.
And he can do kick returns too. I'm not sure if he's the guy you always have back there, but he can do that as well. So he's got to do special teams if he's going to make this team.
Yeah.
I would just, you know, I would keep six then. I don't think Greg Ward is going to make it. So right now I have Kobe on.
Yeah, you know what? And I think he's a kid that can sit down in space for you too. Like, you know, he's got that Wes Welker like light, you know?
Yeah. I mean, he would be the backup slot to Quez. He's kind of a good compliment. He's a different type of
yes.
runner. He runs good right routes though. I mean, like he beats guys off the line too.
I know.
He's got good hands. I like him. I think he's an NFL player, whether it's here or somewhere else. He's an NFL player, and I think the Eagles are going to think it's here. And then they'll just. I mean, I don't think that puts Rager in trouble, but I think it puts certainly Greg Ward in trouble.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I really am there. I'm with you. How about Cam Jurgens? What's it been like? That kid looked great Friday night, man. I mean,
yeah, he's ready to start. It's needed, and you know, it sounds like Jason Kelsey's going to be back for the first game. But if he's not, this gives the kid will have. I don't know if he's going to play in either of the preseason games, but he's got one game under his belt. He's got these joint practices. He's got all these reps with the first team. And like you said, you saw in however many snaps he got already what this kid can do out in space. I mean, he's kind of like Kelsey Jr. I don't think he has quite Jason's athleticism. I don't think any really center in the NFL has ever had that type of athleticism.
Yeah, that's completely.
He may be a little ahead of Jason in terms of his strength. But they weren't. I mean, they were running plays. They run with Kelsey, pulling him, getting him out ahead of ball, on screens. He was able to execute those. It seemed like there were no issues with calls at the line. That's another one you got to say. Okay, at the time you're like, oh, center in the second round. Is that really where I would have gone? But you can see that they identified this guy, and it's almost like. Maybe you won't even miss a beat if Kelsey does retire after the season.
I know. I was thinking the same thing. We all love Kelsey. I mean, we all love, he's such a dying, what a great, great, great player.
Still a great player. So Cam will most likely just sit and watch, but you never know about injury. That being said, look, there's ups and downs to your first season and playing that position. But again, what I usually want to see out of rookies during these camps is like, okay, can he play in the NFL? Usually you can tell that pretty simply. And then can he be, a guy that's going to be here for a while, and then you can see whether this guy's a legitimate starter. And I think that he obviously crosses off all three.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. That's another area of that team. My last one, I'm glad you feel the same way, too. Like, it's funny. I was curious at where you're at.
I would say, I'm up. I'm stock up on the Eagles.
Yeah.
From what I've seen. And I know you know me for a long time. I'm pretty much more on the skeptical side of things.
Yeah. Listen, we talked all last year. Did you hear? I did not like the way they looked last year. You know that going into the season, there were a lot of stuff I didn't like, and we talked about it.
Right. But we should mention, the central questions and the concerns are okay, this pass offense has to improve.
Yeah.
Can Jalen do that? On the defensive side, we've already talked about it, but I think it's still the central question. Yes, the personnel's improved, but it's Jonathan Gannon, a second-level defensive coordinator, that he can scheme and put top quarterbacks in difficult spots. Now, it's not going to hurt him as much because they don't face as many top quarterbacks this year, but if you expect the Eagles or want the Eagles to take a step further and get further, not only get to the playoffs but also win another game, these are questions that are going to have to be answered. And I think there's still some uncertainty about whether they can be answered.
Yeah, I hear you, dude. I feel you. And look, everything is going to come down to we. It's almost like every conversation will come back down to Jalen, right? Everything comes back to it because, look, he's going to have to make throws. And it was great. That's the way you start the season and the preseason. All right, I'm with you. And, but there are throws he's going to have to make. And until that happens, you're still going to be uneasy about it.
There are throws he's going to have to make, but don't put him in too many spots where he just can't do it. And they did too much of that early last season.
Yeah.
It was mind-boggling, quite frankly. They just all of a sudden said, hey, here's our pass offense, this detailed, sophisticated pass offense. Here, execute it in your first full year as a starter. And Jalen's really good, two-man route concepts, you know, scheme things open for him. He can make the throws if he knows, you know, what is happening. If stuff breaks down, yes, he does have some traits that maybe you want to coach out of him in terms of leaving the pocket earlier or going to his right. Those are, you know, again, that's what Tampa did. Tampa forced him to his right the entire game. Every time they had an edge just planted on that side, spying him to force him to his left constantly. That's all he did. And he couldn't do that. So look, he, you know, he's doing fine. Obviously he had a good first preseason game, but, he's certainly still the main question heading into this season. It's cliche to say to this point, but those are the facts.
Yeah, I'm with you, brother. I think it's great. I think you, you analyze it perfectly. Great stuff, man. Love the conversation as always, buddy. I look forward to it each week. You're the best, bud. Appreciate it.
Thanks, man.
There he is. Great. Jeff McClain, Inquirer.com. Dude, how about it? He feels the same way I do.
Yeah, and for everybody that Jeff hates the team, blah, 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 blah.
Sees it the way I see it. Very enthused. The read is there. It's a good read. It's a good team. I keep going back to where we started the show. At peace. I feel great.
Does Jordan Howard come back again?
Need another back.
Yeah, by the sound of it.
Need another back.
I saw my man Brandon Lee Gallen covers the Eagles too. He said it's hard to tell if Gainwell actually made a jump from his rookie year or not.
I need a ball carrier, dude.
Yeah.
Now, I do think I'm bullish on Sanders. But again, you know, you're back. You got to stay healthy.
Yeah, he's already got the hamstring. You know, that's tricky with running backs, man.
I'd be scouting. I'd be looking for a bat.
Yeah.
Big time. 610-632-0975. We've been all over the place. I know it. We're going to get back to the schedule. You heard Jeff. I would love to talk to you guys for the last hour since we've been kind of amongst one another, the Tunis and I. 610-632-0975. Cuz Radio with the Tunis on this incredible Tuesday across the Delaware Valley.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
One o'clock across the Delaware Valley. My man, A.A. Ron. I don't judge you about not eating eggs. Don't judge my pumpkin coffee creamer. You're right on, brother.
I just don't do the pumpkin spice. You know what I hate, dude? You know what is so overrated?
What's that?
The pumpkin beer. It's nasty, dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
I'm not the biggest pumpkin beer. I don't like the pumpkin beer. I give it up to, I just thought it was early.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Still like summer.
Yeah, we're not ready for the
Labor
fall.
Day. I think Labor Day.
I'm with you.
After Labor Day, you rock it. You want to rock the pumpkin? Do it after Labor Day.
Yeah, but if it don't taste good, don't taste good. But hey, I can't really
judge. I'm saying,
you
eat everything cold.
That's true.
And I don't eat anything in the morning.
My sister, one of her best friends, is married to a man from England. And
Sam?
No. But two years ago, he's trying to, you know, he's coming stateside, right? And he likes to try to find out what us blokes enjoy, us Americans. And so,
yeah, but you're not the everyday American either.
No. So around Halloween, he had everybody bring a pumpkin beer because he wanted to try all the different pumpkin beers that are like mass produced. And I don't like one. And so I tried one, each of them. They were all terrible. There wasn't one pumpkin beer that was good.
Let me ask you a question. I mean, how many versions of pumpkin beer can you have?
There's, you know, they all have different kind of tastes, different hops that they use.
I mean,
you know?
I mean, I don't know, but
they were all nasty, dude.
Pumpkin's a pumpkin, like, you know. I mean, some may do it other better than others, but it's still just a pumpkin.
They were all nasty.
Yeah, I don't think I agree with you, but for those pumpkin people, you got pumpkin people. You got to give the pumpkin people.
Yeah, but like I like a pumpkin pie.
Okay, well then you should like the pumpkin beer.
Nah, dude, it's
and you should like the pumpkin.
You don't like pie, so you wouldn't know. Just like you think Shane Falco's a bad quarterback and that John Favreau's a bad linebacker.
Right?
You've never seen the movie, so you can't really judge.
I saw the clip. How could you think that John Favreau? How could you think that John Favreau would be a linebacker?
You know,
he's more nose picker than linebacker.
Nah, dude, come on, man.
Get the hell out of here with John
Favreau.
Picked
him up off the scrap heap. Come on, man.
I'm sorry, and I apologize to all the Marvel people. I've seen him in Spider-Man and the Iron Man. He stinks. I hate John Favreau.
That's not true.
I hate him.
He stinks!
I hate him. He's another one. Somehow he made it. Partly I'm jealous. But I mean, that dude, really?
Yeah, he's done some stuff with Vince Vaughn, too.
Yeah.
You know?
Vince Vaughn, let's be real. He basically carried Vince Vaughn's jock around. That's how he made it.
Oh, man.
Seriously. Come on. He wrote.
He was good in Couples Retreat. That was a funny movie.
Couples Retreat, you're giving me?
Yeah, it's a funny movie, man.
Seriously, dude.
Oh, John Favreau ain't bad.
He stinks. That's the same guy, though. The offensive lineman, when you told me about.
He's in Couples Retreat,
right?
Yeah.
Right. He's funny. John Favreau stinks. And the replacements stink.
No,
I'm sorry.
You never watched
it. All due respect, because somehow there's a lot of love for that movie.
They got Gene Hackman, good coach. Come on, man, some are all mad, and you should watch it just for that.
Dude, I can't. I can't. I can't get over
it. You should watch it just for them.
No, I refuse. I saw the clip.
You're doing a disservice.
I saw the clip. I saw the clip.
By the way.
Yeah.
The MLB just tweeted something out.
What?
It's the if the postseason started today and the matchups.
Oh, really?
Yeah, dude.
Phil's Braves, huh?
Phil's Braves, first round matchup. It'll be tough. By the way, they would then play the Dodgers if the Phillies move on.
Jeez.
How about Bueller? Done for the year.
That's
a tough loss for them. The Cardinals-Padres.
Pods leaking oil.
The winner moves on to the Mets. The AL, you got the Guardians hosting the Jays. The fighting Seattle Mariners would host the...
They won again last night.
Yes, they did.
The Angels.
Did you see how they won
it? They got Castillo. I want a Castillo.
It's crazy how they won it. They would face the Rays. Winner of Guardians, Blue Jays goes on to take the Yankees, speaking of leaking oil. And then the winner of Mariners, Devil Rays, goes on to take Houston.
The Astros get?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They're the one seed right now.
Yeah. AL weak. The AL's weak compared to the NL. NL strong.
That is true, even though like you could still see Houston win. Houston could win.
No, Houston could be the best team.
But overall, yeah, the entire slate.
Braves scare me. I don't want to touch the Braves.
Well,
I'd rather play the Mets than the Braves. How about that?
I don't know.
Dude, the Braves lineup.
Braves lineup.
They just come at
you. DeGrom.
I know, but the Braves lineup comes at you in waves.
I'd rather face Freed, Morton.
I hear you. I get the pitching.
Scherzer, DeGrom. DeGrom, Scherzer.
That Mets lineup. You really afraid of that Mets lineup?
No, I'm afraid of the Braves
like
lineup.
Lonzo,
dude.
Lindor.
Castellanos can't hit, you know, my slider right now.
I know.
It's DeGrom.
It's picking your poison, though.
Big time.
Bryce comes back. Schwarber's back. All of a sudden, you know, listen, they hit Scherzer, dude.
They did.
They hit him twice.
Yeah.
Larry G. Risky, Kareem Hunt, make the trade. They're right. You would love that trade. I would love that trade.
Yeah, I just don't know. Like, remember there was that Dillard and a pick for Hunt? I don't think that was actually real. I think that was just like a Fox Sports proposed.
I agree, but
deal.
I would do that in a heartbeat. I would do that in a heartbeat. NBA Slime on Twitter. Sixers open the season at Boston. Host Giannis for the Bucks season opener. And open Christmas at the Garden. A lot of prominent games for the Sixers. Huh. Why is that?
Yes, that's the Wendy. That is the Wendy thing.
Yes. Yes, isn't that interesting? I don't know, dude. I think it's happening.
I think they're going to get Kevin Durant. I really do think they're going to get Durant.
I told you that the other day. You were like, yeah.
I'm with you, yeah.
All right. I feel like the Moses deal, dude. Feels like Moses. It's going to be interesting when it happens, how people react to it. I don't know. It's going to be bittersweet because it's Tyrese.
Everybody loves him, yeah.
But, you know, at some point, I think everybody
Of Maxie at FanFest last year, man.
I know.
Like, oh, my God. By the way, I'm reading something interesting. There was a report. Trying to find out who this is from, but there was a report that the Phillies were actually in talks with the Nationals and Giants as a potential three-team deal. But they didn't want to give up Painter. No, never mind. It's not true. Thank you, Tyrone. Okay.
It wasn't the Phillies. So they ESPN released their mid-season or their in-season top 50 prospects list. And the Phillies have the 32nd and 46th best prospect in baseball. Painter, number 32, Washington tried to include in the deal and make it a three-team deal in the Soto deal. The Phillies would not have gotten Soto.
They would have gotten, I was getting to that, they would have gotten Rodon from the Giants. But Soto would have went to San Fran, not San Diego.
Oh.
But that's apparently coming from the Washington side.
Yeah.
The Phillies weren't going to part with Painter.
Right, and I'm okay with that.
I agree with that.
Because Rodon's a rental.
I agree with that.
So I'm cool with it.
I agree with that. I wouldn't have done that.
But I still can't help but think Rodon in this rotation, dude. Like, come on, man. Wheeler, Nola, Rodon. With this lineup still. Like, come on, it's formidable.
Yeah, but you know what? You got those young horses, dude. Like, bring them up. Do a Braves like Strider. Like, you sleep on him.
Yeah, he's great.
He's a great pitcher. Like, and he's got stones, that kid. Uncle Frank, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Uncle Frank.
Hey, happy Tuesday, squad. All good?
What do you say there, Uncle Frankie?
Oh, my God, I got to put somebody off. I'm good, buddy. I'm good. Listen, Andrew.
Hi, Uncle Frank.
Andrew, a roll of wallpaper has more acting prowess than John Wick. I mean, he is.
Bet you he throws a football better than you do.
I'll take Uncle Frank any day of the week. Uncle Frank's an athlete.
Yeah.
John Wick's not an athlete. He's a great killer, but he's not an athlete.
Andrew, you're out of line there, son.
Uncle Frank, he's a baller, man. Back in the day, hooping. You know he can throw. You got an arm, right, Uncle Frank?
Yeah, and you saw my granddaughter's arm.
Yeah. All day long. Forget about Edie Falco.
Yes. Seatbelt is an awesome nickname.
Isn't that good?
Yeah. So, a few random thoughts. Andrew, this may come as a shock to you, but when the girls were teething, right?
Yeah.
Mom-in-law would rub whiskey on their gums. It was a great elixir. Of course,
I've heard.
I tried to convince her I was teething, but to no avail. So, Anthony, you were breaking down yesterday, the all 22, regarding your summer concoction, I am all in. You had me twitching. The watermelon.
Oh, you like that cocktail?
Oh.
Yeah.
The way you broke.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a strong. It's a strong. I highly recommend it over the last 2 weeks of summer. Yeah, highly recommend it.
You know, I'm a V guy, but I go G. I go either one. Anyway.
Yeah, I said gin. I'm a gin man. But you could go vodka if you're anti-gin. Because not a lot of people love the gin. You could go vodka. You get the watermelon. You muddle it with the ice.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Then you add the gin or the vodka. And then you rock a little tonic and lime.
Oh, I'm going to start twitching again. so last night, Phil's bird, Castellanos, he can't strike out there with the Met all the bases. Oh, God, that hurt. My man Syndergaard, he kind of threw like Soar instead of Thor. But if he can eat up 6-7 innings and get to the bullpen, because the bullpen is just lights out, you know?
I mean, you know, you got to live with him until you can figure him out, or, you know, you hope he can get better for next year.
So the Birds, like the Birds defense, how fun are they going to be to watch? The backers are flying around, and you know, this Jordan Davis, he's not a fridge. He's like a damn walk-in freezer with quick feet. I'm going to say, bold prediction, in 2 more years, he may be a pro bowler. Health, you know.
Yeah, dude, yes, Uncle Frank. I mean, that's almost obvious. Jordan Davis, pro. He could be one of the great D tackles at that size.
Yes.
Right?
Dominant.
Exactly.
Hey, Uncle Frank,
Andrew,
listen, man.
Andrew,
I'm sorry. The echo. Come on, Uncle Frank.
Wow. You zapped him.
Well, I was hoping I'd hear the double zap because of the echo.
Oh, he did have a bit of an echo.
Yeah, the echo was there, man.
Yeah, but Jordan Davis as a pro bowler, I think that's my expectation, right? I think he could become a ridiculous force in the middle.
Yeah. I wonder how much he plays this year.
Nah, I mean, again.
I'm curious, how does he utilize him, right? Like, Jonathan Gannon has stuff to work with this year.
Yeah, dude.
There's no excuses for him.
And I love what Jeff McClain talked about with Vic Fangio having been at practice as a guest 3 times. That's a Vic Fangio dream.
So maybe Jonathan Gannon gets a head coaching job. And then Fangio comes in.
Could you imagine having him working with, short of Spags, he would be my dream defensive coordinator. To have him come in?
That'd be fun.
With that front seven, what he could do with that front seven?
Yeah.
Listen, I don't know about Gannon. I didn't see anything last year.
Nothing.
I don't know anything about him.
I was so disappointed because there was a lot of hype. And I get it. The talent was not really there. But the game plans were awful. The game plans were awful. There's got to be a way to scheme up a way to not allow a quarterback to throw for 80%.
Yeah.
82% Justin Herbert threw. Like, come on, dude.
You know, Johnny McKay loved him. I still don't even understand.
Head coach 2 years. That's what I kept
on. I don't understand what he saw in him. What did he do? Like, what did he do that was impressive? Was there anything that stood out to him?
He beat Garrett Gilbert in the second half of the season.
I mean, you know, some of it was, He beat trash quarterbacks, and good quarterbacks picked him apart at a historic completion percentage. Pick. Like the last time you saw him, Brady was having a catch.
Yeah. Easy.
I mean, he got knocked down a couple of times. Wow, that's enough to get him a job? Really? Because his offensive line was all hurt. I don't know. I mean, the one thing I could be a little, you got to show me, is Gannon.
Yeah, I love Sirianni. He's 3 question marks this year, man.
I love Sirianni. I feel great about Sirianni. I don't know about Gannon.
Gannon, Hurts, and the safeties are my three question marks about this team. Actually, but I feel best about Hurts.
Actually, I got somebody above the safeties. I got a position above the safeties.
Running back.
Yeah. Yeah, my questions are number one.
I kind of couple Hurts.
Number one is Hurts. Number two is Gannon. Number three is the backs. And number four, the safeties. Because they have enough to mask what they lack in safety.
Yeah. But I also think you can mask the running backs with the O-line, Hurts' legs, and the weapons you have. You know, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert.
But see, the problem is, like, Miles, if Sanders is healthy, I think Sanders has a monster year if he's healthy.
Yeah.
I just don't know. Can he make it through a season?
Like, I don't think Gainwell's just like 100-yard rusher by any means.
I'm not the biggest Gainwell fan.
But I'm just saying, like,
I think he's a decent back.
If Hurts
is
making his throws, right? And we're not asking for too much, just making his throws, they can't load up the box against them.
Well, you're not going to. You can't load up the box with A.J. Brown, Devontae
Smith. Right, exactly. As long as he's making the throws,
like, you can't do it. If he's not, like.
Right.
You can't do it. Like, you're going to get seven all day. And with that line in seven, you should be able to run the ball. I mean, that's just a math equation.
Yeah.
Nicky, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Nicky!
Gentlemen, can I get a yo?
Yeah, sure. Oh,
of course.
Because we got a yo.
Yo.
Perfect. I'm glad we got the Rocky yo. I want to yo out to the Philadelphia Museum of Jewish American History. And they put your sculpture out there. It says, yo, it's big. It's Lamborghini yellow, and it's a big yo right in front of the museum.
Oh, I love it. I love the yo.
Fifth and Market.
Oh, my God. I love it.
Tall, 16 feet long, and it's Lamborghini yellow. It's gorgeous. Gorgeous.
Dude.
So it's got like a dual purpose. If you're on the street and you look at it, it's yo for the Rocky yo. That's who. This is what they said. This is what the artist said. So if you're on the street and you look at it, it says yo for the Rocky and you know what we use as a salutation here in Philly that you should patent basically. And if you're coming out of the Jewish Museum, it says oi, which is a Jewish Yiddish.
Sure, oi. Yeah. And of course, a very popular phrase in England.
In England, yeah, right, correct. And yo for the
who's our man? Americans. Who's our man?
Oh, Roy Kent.
Roy Kent.
He's here. He's there. He's everywhere. Roy Kent.
Oy.
Roy Kent. Come on, man.
Oy.
Anyway, so Bert, so you have no expectations. I accept that. After Karate Marx got done talking, I was ready to go 19-0. Like, he had me in, man. He was like 17-0. I'm like, no, we're going in 19-20-0. I don't know. He had me going, man. But you have no expectations, of course. But if JG is the reason for a couple losses, you better come in and start ripping up the studio. That's all I got to say. Like, I expect losses. I expect teams that are growing and gelling and maturing with young talent to lose. That's just normal. But I can't have this dude that now is under the tutelage of Nick, and I'm a big Nick supporter. You know, it's Collegeville Nick. Anybody named Nick, I'm there. If he's getting the tutelage from a defensive Nick guy, I got it. He better learn something.
So why you want me to muck up the studio? You want me to just ransack it? If there's a JG loss,
if there's a JG loss, I'm going to come in the studio.
All right.
You tell your engineers to get another camera ready and microphone because I'm going to be upset.
All right, I think that's fair.
Nick Fangio, I missed that part about Nick Fangio. I got a phone call during the interview, so I missed it. So Nick Fangio was there three times during the offseason now? During
Vic has been there.
Oh, Vic, right.
Yeah, Vic has been there for three times as a guest to Eagles camp. Which is what you would love. Right?
An architect or engineer of just fun defenses that are flying around all the time.
Well, that's especially too. To play the hybrid. Yep. Nicky, great stuff, brother. Oi. Yo. Love the Oi Yo statue, dude.
Damn right, man.
Love the Yo statue.
Hey, I have a chance for you to geek out on the other side. Close out the show.
Really?
Yeah. Maurice Jones-Drew, NFL Network, put together his top 10 quarterback to receiver duos for this upcoming season.
Ooh, I love it. All right, 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975, cover Cuz Radio DeJunas, 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 1:30 across the Delaware Valley, Cuz Radio chooses. All right, at some point we need to finish our schedule, Chunas, all right? You tease me going into the break with the rankings. It was Maurice Jones-Drew.
Yes, he is now with the NFL Network.
His top quarterback receiver combos?
Yes, that is
receiver
correct.
Combos.
So I want to see what you think of it.
By the way, are you a combo man?
Yes, love the pizza combo. That's the one seed.
Cracker or pretzel?
Pretzel. Man, you know, I've not had a combo in a while.
The combo.
I think I go pretzel.
My Massimo is a huge combo man.
The combo is one of those items where I liked the spinoff more than the original. So I like the pizza combo.
Better than the OG of combo, the pretzel, yeah. The cheddar pretzel?
Yeah, I think so.
Really?
Yeah, I believe so.
There's a lot of different combos now. They rock in all kinds of different flavors.
Is it like the Pringle where there's a bunch of random flavors?
The Pringle stinks.
You didn't mind some. Let's see, what do we got here? They got the pizzeria, they got the cheddar cheese, pepperoni pizza, and another cheddar cheese.
Yeah, there's a couple. They do the ranch, which I don't get.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't get.
It looks like there's a little pepper one, a little spice.
What's it called?
I don't know. The picture's blurry. Come on, man.
What, a jalapeno popper? Whatever. Combo?
Let's see here. We're not getting good info here. Combos.com website stinks, man.
Okay. Yeah, they up their game. Get up your game, dude.
Come on, man.
I agree. All right.
Oh, they have a buffalo blue cheese, spicy honey mustard. I'm a honey mustard man.
Are you?
Yes.
VG goes pizza combos the goat.
That's what I'm saying.
But that's the cracker, right? Am I wrong or right? I read the cracker.
Oh, looks like they got a couple.
Okay.
So there's a pizzeria pretzel baked snack.
All right.
There you go.
All right. Let me try to guess the combos.
Okay. You want to go in order?
Let me see. Order's tough. Let me see if there I can grab them. All right.
Yes.
All right. I'll say Mahomes Kelsey.
That is number 5.
All right. I got 5. All right. I'll say Allen Diggs.
That is number 2, according to MJD.
All right. I'm going to go with that Burrow, Jamar Chase.
Coming in at number 1 on his list.
Really?
Yes.
He goes Burrow, Chase 1? I mean, Mahomes Kelsey's low at 5.
Maybe his mindset. Look, there's no explanation, and I'm sure he explained on one of the shows. There is a full breakdown on a link here, but I would imagine the Mahomes Kelsey takes a hit because it was Mahomes Hill as well.
All right, how about I give you that Stafford Cup?
Yes, that's number 3. You could make the case that could be 1 based off of just last year alone.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Cup may be the greatest receiver today, but Stafford's not the best quarterback.
That's true. That's true.
Right? Like, Cup just gets open. I mean, he's unbelievable. Right? He just gets open. I'll give you... Does he go Derek Carr, Devontae Adams?
He does at number 4 on the list.
Carr Adams is going to be outrageous, too.
Yes, it will be.
That'll be incredible.
Carr had a good year last year. Now imagine with Devontae Adams what he can do. So you got 1 through 5 taken care of.
All right. Let me give you... Well, you got to get Jefferson. So Cousins, Jefferson?
Nope.
No?
Well, probably because of the quarterback.
Yeah, the Cousins. But Jefferson, I don't care who's throwing to him.
Oh, it's the duo.
How about Dak CeeDee Lamb?
That is number 7.
How about Herbert? He's got 2 of them.
Herbert's on the list.
He's got 2.
Keenan Allen is the one that they put on here. At number 8.
Alright. Who am I missing here?
At number 6, you can guess it, but this wide receiver is severely underrated.
Severely underrated?
I think he's underrated. Has never had a season in the NFL where he's not had at least a
thousand. Well, let me just go. Let me try another one. I'm going to go Russell Wilson and... I'm going to go Russ and Judy.
Doesn't matter who you pick. Not on the list. Mm. Which they should be, because number 10 I disagree with.
Russ and Judy 10. Should be, I mean, that should be on the list. All right, let me think real quick. So, Brady. What am I thinking? I forgot about Brady.
With one of the most underrated receivers.
Yeah, what's his name? Godwin.
Mike Evans.
Oh, I like Godwin better.
He's very talented, but Mike Evans.
He goes Evans, huh?
He goes Evans. Never under 1,000 yards in his career.
I like Godwin, dude.
Hey, stud.
I go Brady Godwin. Over that.
Yeah, I'm sure you can go either one at number 6. But I love Mike Evans, man. He does not get enough love.
Yeah, you like him?
Yeah, look at the quarterbacks that he has had. Fitzpatrick, he's had...
No. I'm not telling you he's not a great receiver, but,
he's underrated. Who was that? What was his name?
Yeah,
number 17.
There's
a lot of quarterbacks that he has had. Trash quarterbacks.
No, he's had a lot of... I agree. A lot of garbage quarterbacks. He's had...
Jason Campbell, I'm pretty sure, was one at one point.
I don't know. He's not been... Jason Campbell couldn't have been with Evans, really?
Let me see.
Hmm. Yeah, no. All right, how about this? How about Hopkins and... because he's... I don't know if does he take account the suspension, but Murray Hopkins?
He does have Murray Hopkins, number 9.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Number 10, I don't agree with.
You don't?
No, because we haven't seen this guy, it feels like, in 2 years. And the quarterback, there's still a lot of questions.
Watson?
No. Oh. Winston and Michael Thomas.
Oh, no.
I can't
really?
Go there 10.
Winston Thomas?
Yeah, he has him at number 10.
I would go. That's the one spot. Dude, I go Cousins Jefferson.
Yeah.
Over that.
And even though he shouldn't be playing, but you go Watson, Amari Cooper over that. Now, maybe he hasn't seen him yet, and that's why. Russ Judy?
I got to go Russ Judy all day long.
Winston and Thomas? Yeah.
All day long, I go Russ Judy. What about Debo? Well, I mean, Garoppolo stinks.
He is terrible. Or Trey Lance.
Or Trey Lance.
By the way, here are the quarterbacks that Mike Evans has had. Brady, obviously, now. Winston early before he got things figured out. Josh McCown. Mike Glennon.
Oof.
Ryan Fitzpatrick, Ryan Griffin, and Blaine Gabbert have been the quarterbacks that have thrown to Mike Evans.
You know what's funny? You know who's not on that list? Rodgers.
Well, they don't.
I mean, Rodgers.
They don't respect any of the receivers.
Yeah, but Rodgers.
Are you going to go Lazard?
I know, but like, think about it. Rodgers doesn't get it.
Yeah. Well, it's about the duo.
Wow. I just went through the all-timers. I'm just looking at this.
With the all-time duos?
Now I'm looking at... Now, see, this is what you're going to do. You're going to get me in a...
You only got 11 minutes left.
Oh, I got to save this, dude? All right, I'll save it. Oh, my God. I love the... The combo was fantastic. Let me throw this at you. This comes on Twitter... And I got to see, this is a scenario from Pete.
All right.
All right, Pete Sack. What happens if Jalen gets hurt? God forbid. We'll put that little thing in there.
Yeah, I don't want that.
Week 4 doesn't come back until week 15 and they don't make the playoffs. What happens?
Oh, jeez.
For as far as your evaluation is concerned.
Well, that, listen, it's you could say it's totally unfair, but if you go, what, so you miss him from week 4 to week 15?
In other words, his scenario is there's a Jalen gets banged up. What do you do?
Well, look, if he misses 11 weeks and they miss the playoffs, that means their record's probably, what, 6-10? That means they're drafting pretty high in what is considered a historic draft class. So then you probably have to evaluate the quarterbacks heavily. If you have a top 5 pick, and remember, a lot of the teams that are going to be up toward the top of the draft drafted their quarterbacks last year, this past draft. They're sitting for a year, stuff like that, growing pains. The Jaguars might stink this year. They're not going to draft another quarterback. They got Trevor Lawrence. If the Eagles are in striking distance of whoever the top quarterback will be, you have to obviously evaluate that. That sucks for Hurts. Totally yeah. does. And yeah. it sucks for the season. That means the season's over.
Yeah.
I hope that doesn't happen.
I mean, God forbid.
Yeah, please don't. I don't even want to put that out in the universe, to be honest.
I mean, I agree. How about this? This is nuts. This is crazy. Somebody, there's a great website. In fact, Joe Banner is a part of this thing. It's called the 33rd Tee. You hear this?
No.
What quarterback right now is the next Brady? Mike Martz is a contributor, and he said that this guy is the next generational quarterback. Who is it?
Oh, Manning?
No. He's in the league right now.
Oh. I would imagine he goes...
Of all the young quarterbacks.
I would imagine he's going either Burrow or Herbert.
Herbert.
Okay.
Herbert over Mahomes. Herbert over everybody, he said. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, I mean, that's tough to base that stuff, right? That means he has to win how many Super Bowls?
I know. He said the next generational quarterback.
Well, to me, at this point, generational means you won multiple rings.
Yeah.
Brady did it. Montana, Young, Bradshaw. Yeah. All those guys have multiple rings.
Yeah.
As great as Marino is, never won. Rodgers only won. Like, if I'm going generational, GOAT conversation, you got to win multiple.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
So we'll see. I mean, can Brandon Staley be the coach? He screwed that up last year.
Dude, did you see the rankings of the top coaches?
What, McVay won? Oh, no, we did do this. Belichick was 3, right?
Right.
And McVay was 2?
Yeah, so I did this on the... I got into a vicious argument on Fox. You know, I do my Saturday show?
Yeah.
So they're all L.A. guys. Right?
And they're all McVay'd up.
Oh, my God. You should have heard him.
It's gross, dude.
Dude, you should have heard him. I was doing my, I gave you my list, and I had McVay at like 6. And they were like, what are you, crazy?
All those L.A. guys.
And then I had everybody tweet, like a lot of the L.A. fans tweeting.
Yeah, because they won the Super Bowl. He remembers plays from 10 years ago. He's, you know, he's a handsome man, has a smoking hot wife. You know, he gets fiery. He loves his guys, blah, 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 blah.
But you know what's nuts?
He almost lost in the Super Bowl.
But they all had Belichick like 5-6. I'm like,
yeah. All of a sudden, he stinks.
Yeah, I go, all right, listen, the guy is great for 20 years, right? 20 years in the NFL.
As a caveman now, Ant.
All right. He then loses his quarterback. I get it. Like, Brady had a big part of it. But 20 years, he's the top, wins a million different ways, right? He then takes a step back 1 year in a COVID year. And makes the playoffs. We forget they made the playoffs last year. With a rookie quarterback.
Yeah, Mac Jones.
What, are you serious? Like,
yeah, all of a sudden he stinks.
All of a sudden he's like, how is he not a top 3 coach in the league?
I don't know, dude.
Because I gave it Andy. I had Belichick.
You know why? They don't want him to be.
Yeah, no.
There's a lot of people that want it to be, it was Brady all along. Brady goes and wins in Tampa,
they hate
right?
Him.
So they go, it was Brady all along and not Belichick.
Right.
As if it should have been Bucks-Patriots in the Super Bowl year one.
So I had Sean McDermott over McVay. Because I go, listen.
Look at what he built.
Right.
Built with draft picks, whereas McVay, they trade everybody away. They get an all-star team.
He's got an all-star team. Seriously.
Dude, they added Odell Beckham in the middle of the season last year. Come on, man.
By the way, look at what they added defensively.
Yeah. Von Miller.
Are you kidding me?
Come on.
I had Sean above McVay. I think I had Sean like 5 or whatever. Like, look what he did. He goes into that team. First of all, that team sucked, right? The Bills were horrible. Yeah. And Sean goes into that team and redoes. And by the way, the personnel guy works for him. He's the guy in charge. He also builds Josh Allen. He has a big role, along with Brian Daboll.
Yeah.
But he has a big role in helping build the quarterback. And he builds his team that's now perennial Super Bowl team. I know he didn't win it, but I give him more respect than McVay, who has the all-star team. And by the way, they act like, I go, Harbaugh's been doing it for years.
Mm-hmm.
In the right, Tomlin's been doing it for years.
It's recency bias because they won, and it's also the boy genius thing.
Because
if you put on NFL Network, Sean McVay's on there.
Listen, I'm not saying he's not. I think he's a good coach. I think Kyle Shanahan's a good coach, too. But geez, their top 5 was McVay, Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah, it's all the young. You know, Brandon Staley was probably up there. It's gross.
It was funny. We got like into a vicious argument.
You're a caveman for liking Andy Reid.
Yeah.
You're a caveman for liking a guy that went to 3 straight conference championships in both conferences. You're a caveman, Ant.
And Belichick and Tomlin and Harbaugh. And they gave me some props with Sean. I was like, all right, you know. It was amazing because we went through
that. It's almost like they felt bad for it. They said, all right.
Yeah.
You're going to have Sean.
Like, I looked at, when you look at these coaches, I mean, listen, I'm not saying that McVay's not a really good coach, but I saw, you know what I love? Vrabel.
Yeah, I like him too.
I go, Vrabel ate McVay's lunch on a Monday night. You remember that Monday night game?
Yeah, they got to Stafford a billion times.
Dude, and you know what he did? He overloaded the A-gap all day on Stafford. The book on Stafford was always A-gap pressure, right? Hit him and give him A-gap pressure. Vrabel overloaded their front, and he ate their lunch that night in L.A. I mean, that dude's an underrated coach.
By the way, you brought up Daboll, year one with the Giants coming up. There's reports that he's been mixing in Tyrod Taylor with the ones.
Guess why?
Danny Dimes apparently not having a good camp.
Danny Dimes stinks.
I think he's awful. But yeah, he's mixing in Tyrod Taylor already.
I'm not surprised.
And he said, don't make anything of it, right? He tried telling the reporters that. But when do you see... if Gardner Minshew started taking reps with the ones...
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
He'd be freaking out.
Dude, by the way, the caller or the tweeter brought up the horrible scenario, which I don't even like to talk about. But in a pinch, dude, the Minshew was...
No, he's awful.
Yeah, I mean...
And when you a game...
Maybe, against the Jets.
Like you saw last year.
But, you know, I mean, that spot is scary. That spot is pretty scary.
Yeah, stay healthy, Jalen. Which, of course, you do have to get concerned because he's a very mobile quarterback. And look, he had the ankle surgery. So maybe they're working on him on standing in the pocket a little bit longer.
It feels like that.
That touchdown pass, he stood tall.
Yeah.
He didn't get dance around, so that's good.
Listen, it's like anything else. In this league.
Hey, you lose the quarterback.
You got to do it.
Yeah.
You got to do it. By the way, the one quarterback, the one combo we didn't talk about was Lamar to Mark Andrews.
It's true.
That's a pretty good combo. We're kicking out, dude. I can't wait. All right, that's going to do for us, man. Thanks. It was a lot of fun today. Geek it out. Stay tuned. We got the best show ever. Tyrone, Ricky Bo, and Jen and Hunter, the Broads, coming up next. Thanks, everybody, for hanging. We love you. Have a great day. We'll see you in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.